The challenges continue to mount for Penn football, entering the day as one of two undefeated programs left in the Ivy League. On the road, the red and blue in a head-on collision with the very tough, always tough Brown Bears, holding a share of the Ancient Eight's best overall record so far in 2011. With that, from Brown Stadium, capacity 20,000, just off the campus of Brown University in Providence, Rhode Island, this is Penn Football. Good afternoon, along with our studio coordinator, the great Walt Cooper. My partner is the one and only Hench Murray. My name's Brian Seltzer. Just moments away from kickoff of the Penn Quakers' seventh game already of the 2011 season. The Penn Quakers at 4-2 overall, tied for first place in the Ivy League, with the Harvard Crimson with a league mark of 3-0. The Brown Bears 5-1, but 2-1 in the conference, losing their Ivy League opener to the Harvard Crimson back in week number two. The Brown Bears won the coin toss. They have elected to receive at the outset of this game. Brown, brown tops, silver pants, base silver helmet, brown logo either side. Quakers white tops, white bottoms, navy blue helmet. Very overcast and gray, but unlike the great city of brotherly love, Hensbury, no snow yet, but it's around 41 degrees as we get ready for kickoff.
Well, they say that weather's coming this way, so the hope would be we can get this game in before it starts.
A.J. Cruz standing at his own 12 to the near left side of the field for the Brown Bears. The far right side for Brown, it will be Jordan Evans, who returned 154 yards last Saturday. Connor Loftus with the right foot, a sidewinding line drive that skips across the 20-yard line near side, out of bounds. The Brown Bears will begin this afternoon at their own 40-yard line. And hence this Brown offense averaging just over 25 points per game, and it's led by one of, again, the elite quarterbacks in this league, fifth-year senior, 6'3" tall, 210 pounds, son of a dairy farmer, Kyle Newhall Caballero.
He is a good one. We're going to see a lot of what he can do out here this afternoon, running and throwing the football.
Frank Sheehan coordinating the Brown Bears offense, moving from right to left, ball spotted near left hash mark, on 40. Three receivers, empty backfield slot right now. Motion backfield, handoff fake. Caballero scrambles far right on the run. He throws it underneath midfield, complete to Alex Toncara-Coney, a 6'4" tall, 205-pound senior receiver out of Staten Island.
Little play action fake for the end around, coming from right to left. And what a well-timed pass and a well-thrown ball, too.
The Brown Bears receiving corps, very tall, very talented. Brown and Penn territory, red and blue 47. Two receivers, slot near left. Two back set, offset to the near left side as well. Under center, Newhall Caballero handing off to the fullback, Cody Talby, up the gut between the hashes, burrowing down to the red and blue 39-yard line. Cody Talby, sophomore fullback out of Ohio, first carry of the season.
Brown went unbounced that time to the left side. They ran a little trap, as you said, to Talby, the fullback that time.
Red and blue rush defense was gassed last Saturday in the win over Yale. Gave up a total of 232 yards on the ground. Empty backfield. Four receiver package, two either side. Caballero out of the gun. It is second and one from the Quaker 40-yard line. Caballero rolls out to the far right side. He's going to keep it under his right armpit, run towards the sticks outside. The numbers shoved out of bounds after getting what appears to be another Brown Bears first down to the Quaker 37.
Very strong formation to the right that time. Four receivers out there. Caballero rolls to his right. Got a lot of options, but Penn's secondary played really well that time, covered all those options, and forced him to run the ball for the first down. But the first down he did get.
Quakers defense yielding on average per game 25 points. That is fifth in the Ivy League, giving up at least 20 points per game. Newhall Caballero out of the gun, three receiver package, slot near left, first and 10 from the Quaker 37. No score. About a minute 50 seconds in, flags fly. This play is coming back after the ball was caught by Matt Sudfeld of the Quaker 26-yard line. as the rain has just started to fall here in Providence, Rhode Island. Our lead referee today is Michael Roach. False start, Jonah Fay, one of the wide receivers. Brown, the second most penalized program in the Ivy League. So that breaks a little bit of momentum that was building, hence for Brown.
Yeah, it looked like they outsmarted themselves. They had a shift right there at the end of the play before the ball was snapped. But, of course, you can't do that. So the completion is negated, and Brown goes back 5 yards.
First and 15, Quaker 42. Two back set, offset near left. Newhall Caballero under center, slot near left. From the Quaker 42, the handoff going to Jeffrey Ivany down beneath the Quaker 35, under the 30 between the hashes to the Quaker 27-yard line. A nice gain of around 15 yards.
They came unbalanced again to the left side, which means they're taking a tackle from the right side, putting them on the left, and that time out of the eye. Eisen, the tailback, just followed the lead blocker up there. We should point out a little bit later that Penn is making some defensive adjustments this week.
Second and a short two for Brown. Two receiver package, slot far right from the Quaker 28. Handoff to Talby between the hashes, barreling down into the red zone to the Quaker 17-yard line. A gain of roughly 11 for a guy who did not have a touch in terms of rushing prior to this opening series of the game.
Well, they gave it to him again, unbalanced. It looks like Brown is going to continue to do that. And Penn has been making some adjustments in that secondary. One of the possibilities, moving Eric Rask a little bit outside and giving Matt Hampshire, the nickelback, a better chance to get into the blitzing situation. We're going to see it right here, Brian.
Brown 12 for 21 in the red zone this season. First and 10, Quaker 18. Newhall Caballero out of the gun, three-receiver package. Slot to the far right side. Confusion, play clock at one. Snap is just getting off, throwing high, incomplete to Dankara Coney. Far right was Newhall Caballero, incomplete. That'll bring up second down.
Well, he took a shot that time. He was way up in the air. Took a shot. Let me see who that was. Daniel Ritt for Penn. That was very close to one of those helmet-to-helmet penalties.
Can't you mention some defensive adjustments for the Penn Quakers? No Jason Schmucker, leading interceptor in the Ivy League this season. So Ritt along with Sebastian Jaskowski getting starts at safety. Second and 10, Brown, Quaker 18. Newhall Caballero out of the gun. Three receivers slot to the near left side of the field. No score. About 3.5 going by first quarter. Tailback is Isaac. Play action. Newhall Caballero floats one to the back of the end zone. Incomplete. He was seeking Alex Tonkara Coney. Well done by Penn. Third and long upcoming.
Pretty good pressure up front. Good coverage by Jason Sikowski.
That's going to be a tough one. There are a lot of tough names on the field today, Hans Murray.
Sebastian Jaskowski. There you go.
The Brown Bears converting 41% of their third down opportunities this year. That is good for fourth best in the Ivy League. Penn's defense last weekend struggled getting off the field in critical situations. This is an early one. 11:20 to go in the first quarter. Newhall Caballero calling out signals with both hands. Three receiver package, slot far right to the short side of the field. Third and 10 from the Quaker 18. Newhall Caballero, plenty of time, looking. Now he starts to scramble, slips, falls, and throws it away to the far right side. He was tripped up on that, we should mention, natural grass surface, hence very spongy and mushy out there.
Yeah.
Big hold by Penn.
And we heard, speaking to some Brown folks before the game, that this field does not drain particularly well. As you said, the mist has started here. Looked like Newhall Caballero might have twisted his knee when he went down that time under the pressure. But it also looks like Brown is going to go for it here.
And now the intentional grounding call. Well, actually, I beg your pardon, his knee hit the turf. So now it's 4th and 21 for Brown. They're going to go for it. Newhall Caballero quickly lines up out of the gun. From the Quaker 29. In the flat far right, there's a flag. Tonkara Coney runs into congestion, tries to cut back towards the hashes, still trying to spin his way back to the original start of this series of downs. He gets to the Quaker 21-yard line, a gain of roughly 8, but there is a flag.
I think it was, again, a penalty, Brian. They were shifting and moving just before the ball was snapped. And Penn is going to decline the penalty because he was well short of the first down. So the Quakers are going to get their first shot on offense.
So a very promising defensive start for the Penn Quakers, hence, which throughout the year really trying to come together, find its way. And the big issue in the first half last Saturday, the Quakers needed 27 points in the fourth quarter to overcome Yale. But the Bulldogs very effective in the red zone early. But a nice stop by Penn. So the offense on the field amidst some now driving rain, first and 10, on 21. Billy Ragone, the quarterback, two receiver package, one either side. Kyle Levine, the tailback. The lefty Ragone completes it far left along the sideline. Ryan Calvert, who lowers the shoulder into A.J. Cruz, might have enough for a first down up to the Penn 31.
Well, Penn not wasting any time to put the ball in the air and put it into the sure hands of Ryan Calvert, the wide receiver out on the left. Again, it was a turn half pattern, ball thrown on a timing pattern. Ryan made the catch, took a couple of steps forward, and picked up the first down.
No score, 4 minutes, 55 seconds in at chilly 40-degree Brown. Trips to the near right side. We're going out of the gun. It'll be first and 10, his own 31. Hand off inside to Brandon Colavita, goes over left guard just outside the hashes. Maybe gets 1 yard.
That's that little slide inside option look out of the shotgun formation, but Brown was right there for stopping it for virtually no gain.
Billy Ragone completing 60% of his passes this year. He's now 91 for 132, 1,142 yards. Receivers bunched far left, short side of the field. It'll be second and 9. The handoff to Kyle Avita, and he'll be stuffed for a loss of about 2. The Quaker 30-yard line.
Well, Brent sniffed that one out. Penn went into the formation that they used with success last week against Yale, where they take the tight end and wing back, Naraki and Ryan Allen, move them from right to left, shift before the ball snap, and then run that power series. That time they went nowhere, so it looks like Brown probably spent some time this week in practice defending it.
Third and 11, Penn, own 30, three receiver slot near right. Billy drops back, under pressure, flush, far left. He's gonna run, far sideline, 35. He's very close to the marker, but probably just short, reaching about the Quaker 39-yard line, a gain of roughly 9, but not enough.
Yeah, he got flushed out of the pocket under pretty good pressure. No receivers open down the field that time, Brian. And Billy thought he had a notion trying to get to the corner. Got to the sideline, but couldn't take it down the sideline and got bumped out of bounds 4 yards short.
Scott Lapano set to kick it away from the Quaker 23-yard line. The rain is really picking up. Umbrellas popped open. Lapano sends a high hanger up there to A.J. Cruz, fumbles the ball, and it's picked up down in Brown territory by the Penn Quakers. Justin Williams, starting cornerback, recovers the fumble, and the Penn Quakers generate a crucial early turnover on Brown.
Boy, ill-advised attempt there to field that punt by Cruz. Again, as you said, Brian, the weather has picked up here. The rain is coming down. It was a spiraling punt, but it hung up there forever, and he was under heavy pressure, decided to try to catch it, and did he pay for it? Because I don't know who hit him, but Justin Williams recovered the fumble. He hit him almost simultaneously as that ball got there.
8:23 to go in the first quarter. No score. Dreary, gloomy Brown. Billy Ragone, the left-handed throwing quarterback, out of the gun. Four receivers, trips near right. Quakers to the Bears 22. Motion to Rocky, far left, near right. Ragone, option, tucks it under the right armpit, gets to the edge, 20 out of bounds at the Bears 19-yard line, a gain of around 3. That's Billy Ragone. Last Saturday, he ran for a touchdown and 94 yards, but last year versus Brown, he rushed for 151 yards.
He was phenomenal last year as Penn put 21 points on the board in the second quarter. Slowed down after that. That was a designed run, just a straight snap to Ragone, who was coming to the right side, and Brown played it pretty well.
Two receiver package, one either side. Calvert short near right. Mitchell wide far left. Colavita tailback. On second down, the handoff, Colavita barreling up the gut under the 15 as he tramples all the way down to the Bears' 11-yard line.
Real fine job by the up front people that time in the offensive line for Penn, and a good burst by Brandon Colavito.
Colavita, the second leading rusher in the Ivy League, just at around 515 yards. It'll be first And goal for Penn from the 10, just at the 10. One receiver wide far left, tailback Kyle Avita. Pitch is faked. Ragone designed keep, but he runs right into a wall of Brown Bear defenders led by Clayton McGrath, son of the Brown Bears defensive line coach.
Speaking of sons of, we have a distinguished John Ryan, who's a quarterback here at Brown, brother of Matt Ryan from the Atlanta Falcons, son of Mike Ryan and Bernie Ryan. Bernie, we think, is at home listening to the game. It was good to catch up with Mike before the game today.
Five receivers, trips tight near right. Second and goal from the 13. Ragone drops, looking, throws end zone. Naraki was by the back near right pylon. The ball was sailed over his head. Incomplete.
Yeah, he was pretty well covered by A.J. Cruz that time. Going into the right corner of the end zone. And I think Billy Wiser just flicked that deep so it couldn't get into any kind of trouble.
And Quakers 0 for 1 on third down conversion opportunities today. Bringing up third and goal from around the 13-yard line. 6:48 to go in the first quarter, no score. Three receivers slot tight near right. We're going out of the gun, flanked on either side. Rain driving down. Billy takes the snap, drops. A little screen set up. Kyle Avita far left between the hashes, and he's knocked down at the Bears' 9-yard line. A pickup of four, but Penn well short. And now the field goal kicking unit making its way onto the field.
Good idea. Again, the action starts to the right. The screen goes back to the left to Brandon Kyle Avita, but it was pretty well clogged up from the get-go. I like the call, but it was not successful.
28-yard attempt upcoming, no breeze. A lot of rain kicking into the rain from the far left hash. Connor Loftus, the freshman, 7 for 11 this year. Kispert snapped. The hold is down from a punter. The kick is up from Loftus, and the kick is no good. Wide to the near right side of the field. It remains a scoreless game with 6:06 to go in the opening quarter. Hence that and plenty of distance.
Yeah, from our vantage point, I thought it might have gone through, but apparently pushed it to the right, as you said. And while you probably wouldn't describe it this way, the rain is at Penn's back. The rain is coming from our left to our right, so the wind was not a factor, the rain was not a factor, but clearly Connor Loftus just hit it to the right. So a nice opportunity squandered there by Penn.
Both the Penn Quakers and Brown Bears 0 for 1 in the red zone so far today. First and 10, Brown from its own 20-yard line. Newhall Caballero out of the gun, slot to the near left side. Play fake, Caballero through the hands of Andrew Marks, the tight end, to the near left side.
That would have been a good reaching catch by Marks. Play action fake coming to the left. Caballero just flipped it out there, but a little bit too far.
And Marks, hence, who does not have a catch on there, he was right there for the Brown Bears around the Quaker, I beg your pardon, the Bears' 25-yard line. That'll bring up second and 10 for Brown from its own 20. Straight eyes set, two receivers, one either side, Alex Tancaro-Coney to the near left side. Newhall Caballero under center. The Quakers bring eight in the box. Play fake. Newhall Caballero under pressure. Dumps it off to Tolby between the hashes, and he gets just a yard at the 21-yard line following the reception, his second of the year.
Well, Brown comes with this version of the screen that time to the left side. Good pressure by Brandon Copeland. Tackled by Brandon Copeland, actually, and a good pressure that time by Daniel Ritt.
5:36 to go, first quarter, no score. The Brown Bears facing a third and roughly 8.5 from their own 22. Rain has lightened up a little bit. The skies have not. Newhall Caballero out of the gun. Three-receiver package slot far right to the wide side of the field. Play clock at 5. Newhall Caballero under pressure. Gets it off over the middle of the field. Complete just in time to Jonah Fay. A first down. The Bears' 38-yard line. Tremendous pressure coming in. And Newhall Caballero just got the throw on.
Boy, it was almost like a jump shot. As you said, he hit the hot receiver on that blitz coming with Eric. Grass coming from his linebacker position. A good down man pressure from Jared Sholley, but he got it off just in time.
The cheerleaders for both sides sporting ponchos, umbrellas are out, and the rain is really coming down now. First and 10 Bears on 38. Three receiver package, slot far right. Newhall Caballero out of the gun. Motion into the backfield. Handoff goes to the Bears reserve receiver, Jimmy Saros. And Saros around the edge, up to around the ground 47-yard line.
Knocked out of bounds by Sebastian Jaskowski. You won that end around from right to left, right in front of the Brown bench. He got knocked out. He's got about 3 yards to go for a first down.
They do so much offensively, Hatch, from the gadget plays to the motion and movement. Gain of 7 will be 2nd and 3 from the Bears' 45-yard line. Empty backfield, trips to the far right side, slot near left. Now motion Sudfeld backfield, joining Newhall Caballero. Hand off to Sudfeld on a slick surface, loses his footing, and he's going to be knocked back for a loss of around 1.5 yards. Steve Elias leading the charge for the Penn Quakers, along with Joseph Silversweet.
Sudfeld that time went in short motion back toward the backfield on an inside handoff out of the shotgun from Newhall Caballero, and you could see he lost his footing there. So that's going to be a factor, Brian, as you said before. This is a grass surface out there, natural turf.
Brown 1 for 2, 3rd downs, 3rd and 4, own 44. Newhall Caballero, 5 receivers. He's out of the gun with trips to the far right side. Between the hashes, he takes the snap. No drop on a little cross. He connects in Quaker territory down to the 48-yard line with Pellip Lundevall.
David Twomley in coverage there at the end of the play. Twomley came up with the football, and he was appealing to the officials, thinking that he had stolen the possession there, but of course they don't give it to him. So Brown continues to drive here inside Penn territory now at the 48-yard line.
3 minutes, 5 seconds to go in the first quarter, no score. Two back set, offset near left, slot near left. Newell Caballero under center. On first down, handoff to Talby with a head of steam. He rumbles down to the red and blue 45-yard line. A tough 3 yards for Cody Talby. Where is this guy coming from, Hatch Murray? Because it's interesting that, first time I mentioned this, Mark Katzmer, 6th leading rusher in the Ivy League, he hasn't appeared yet. He's a junior out of Illinois. John Spooney, considered to be the fastest man in the Ivy League, a heptagonal champion in the 100-meter and 200-meter dash this past spring. He hasn't appeared yet either for the Bears.
Well, you got to wonder if they're banged up. We did have an early report on Karchner that he is perhaps injured.
Brown 2nd and 7, Quaker 45, 2 back, offset near left, slot near left, handoff, Talby again, and the Quakers give him nothing. No gain, stopped the 45.
Looks like Talby lost his helmet that time. Pretty good defense again. Brant's showing a lot of that unbalanced look. And it's not something new. It's not something that they just reeled out today. But the Quakers able to have made adjustments here and stopped it pretty cold that time.
Brown 2 for 3, 3rd downs. This will be 3rd and 7. Quaker 45-yard line. 1:45 to go. 3 receivers far right and 1 short Sudfeld near left. Now he motions backfield. Newhall Caballero in the rain. Far right flat. He sails the throw high over the outstretched right hand of Matthew Sudfeld, the senior. And the Quakers hold on 3rd down.
Well, as you said, Sudfeld went in motion that time from left to right and ran a little swing pass that time. He was uncovered, and had Newhall Caballero had more time or thrown more efficiently, that could have been an easy first down, but it wasn't, as it went harmlessly out of bounds.
Back to return, it'll be Matt Hampshire, 4th in the league in punt returns, his own 10 between the hashes. Here is Nate Lovitz for the Brown Bears. He's got a big leg. He hits an end-over-end kick, fair catch, called for and secured somewhat unsteadily by Matt Hampshire to run up to his own 14 to secure the football with 1:26 to go in the first quarter at Brown Stadium, built in 1925. And with the conditions hench, not quite cold enough to produce some fluffy white snowflakes that apparently have been falling all around Philadelphia, but a lot of rain. Ugh.
Don't go there.
Quakers on the field, 3rd offensive series, could not capitalize on an early Brown muff punt. Under center Ragone, eye set, 2 receivers, 1 either side. It'll be 1st and 10, 10, own 14, left to right. near right flat Mitchell. He's great in space. Gets up to the 20. Hurdles a would-be tackler. And out to the Quaker 25. A nice pickup for Penn of around 11.
Interesting little wrinkle that time. Ryan Mitchell's lined up wide out on the right side. Starts back in motion before the ball snapped, as if he's going to either crack back or come all the way across. When the ball snapped, he changes direction 180 degrees, goes back to the outside. Billy just stands up, throws him the football. As you said, they like to get Ryan Mitchell out in space. That's what they did that time.
Mitchell, fifth in the league, receiving yards per game. Two receivers either side, Penn. First and 10, own 25. We're going out of the gun. Fakes the handoff to Jack. Slithers through a right end hold and out across the Quaker 35. Billy Ragone stomps his way to the 37-yard line. A dozen on the ground for Billy.
Well, that's a play they had success with last week, too, against Yale, where it's that sort of inside option, belly option, where he puts the ball in Jeff Jack's stomach. He goes up into the line as if he's going to carry it. Billy kind of gets right on his back and follows him into the hole. Very successful for Penn right there.
The rain's slanting from right to left. You can start to see some of the grass stains on the jersey. First and 10, Penn on 38, I set slot far left. Play action, Billy. Deep down the middle of the field, he was looking down to the Brown Bears 20-yard line for Ryan Mitchell. Double coverage there, incomplete, a little bit overthrown. It was Daniel Smithwick, one of the linebackers, along with the long-haired Stephen Payton.
Well, they were pretty good double coverage, as you said that time, little play action fake. Ryan Mitchell has great speed, and all he said to him was, see if you can streak down the middle of the field. He did, timing just slightly off on that.
23 seconds to go in the first quarter. Four receivers, two either side, second and 10, Penn on 38. We're going out of the gun. Takes the snap, looks far left, sails one high, and it's picked off! Off the fingertips of Joe Holder, and coming down with the interception for the Brown Bears, Daniel Smithwick. Smithwick with his third pick of the year, just off the palms of Holder Hench and right into the outstretched arms of Smithwick and the Quaker 45.
Yeah, really well-thrown ball, well-timed out. Again, the ball thrown before Holder made his cut. And the ball got there, and Smithwick got there just at the same time. Looked like the ball got into Holder's shoulder pads and bounced off there. It looked like he wasn't able to get his hands on the football, but that's an unfortunate turn of event here for the Quakers.
So a turnover now to either side, and that Billy Ragone's really tough sixth interception of the season. Slot near left for Brown, from right to left. Newhall Caballero under center, Talby the tailback, play action, great sell. Rolling near left, Newhall Caballero throwing on the run. Complete to Takara Coney at the Quaker 35. Outside the numbers, just by the near left sideline. 8 seconds to go in the first quarter. Hook up of around 12 yards for the Brown Bears.
Just a great play action fake that time. They were faking run going to the right side, and the Penn run defense was all fooled. The secondary pretty much fooled, and they get the easy completion out on the left side.
That'll punctuate the first quarter of play. No score between the Penn Quakers and the Brown Bears. Penn tied for first in the Ivy Leagues. Penn fans, for the most up-to-date information on...
No.
This is a...
It's ridiculous. We're going to do the best that we can today, Walt, with... I mean, there's no media timeouts, and they're just running the football.
So we'll run a lot of the halftime, huh?
Penn fans, for the most up-to-date information on Penn Athletics, visit the new and improved official website of Penn Athletics at PennAthletics.com. Create your Quaker E-Pass today for a one-stop shop for merchandise, streaming, tickets, auctions, and more. You can watch exclusive videos, subscribe to podcasts, and also get the latest details on your favorite teams with blogs from Penn Athletics coaches and players. Go online today to the brand new PennAthletics.com.
We would like to welcome our newest addition to Franklin Field, Greasy. Greasy serves and caters delicious, all-natural, nutritionally balanced food and drink to people who care about their bodies. Come by for 100% vine-ripened crushed fruit smoothies, a variety of hot and cold coffee, espresso and teas, as well as freshly made sandwiches and salads to suit all tastes. For natural, nutrient-rich products that invigorate the body and mind, come to Greasy. Located on the north side of Franklin Field, next to Gate 2. Greasy, your fountain of refreshment.
AM 560, WFIL, Philadelphia's Christian community. On the air, online, and on demand at WFIL.com.
On 1st and 10, Quaker 34, Newhall Caballero throws incomplete to Matthew Sudfeld down at the Quaker 30-yard line near right. 5 seconds gone by, second quarter, no score, along with Hench Murray, Brian Seltzer, Walt Cooper at the controls. Dreary, rain, real, teeming Providence, Rhode Island. Brown now from left to right as we see it.
Oh, it is. And the rain now definitely is coming from our right to our left into Brown's face. And it is sort of coming sideways.
Newhall Caballero out of the gun. Four receiver package, two either side. It'll be second and 10, Quaker 34. Following the interception by Smithwood. Newhall Caballero, near right roll, over the middle, wide open complete to Califf. Wonderball between the hashes, down to the Quaker 21-yard line. A gain of 13.
Brown so often goes with the single back set there, so they have five potential receivers, and it creates, as you can imagine, tremendous pressure on that secondary, and it puts additional pressure on those guys rushing to take a, to prevent him from having enough time to throw the football. But that time, Lundeville was wide open.
Five receiver package, trips near right, wide side of the field. It'll be first and 10, Brown, Quaker 22. Newhall Caballero, empty backfield, takes the snap under pressure, through the middle, incomplete. Down to the 15, he was looking for Lundeball again, incomplete.
Well, he took a pretty good shot by Matt Hampshire that time. And under that pressure, he kind of heaved that ball into space that could have very easily been intercepted.
The Brown Bears, 91 yards of offense in the first quarter. The Penn Quakers, just 53. Newell Caballero missed six games last year with a wrist injury. He was a first-team All-Ivy quarterback back in 2009. Second and 10, Brown. Now the wind picks up. It's like a cross rain. Whoa. From the Quaker 22, two receivers tight near right, one far left. Newhall Caballero drops, pocket collapses. He's now going to scramble a bit far left. The one-hop throw incomplete, down by the 20, intended for Matthew Sudfeld. Now the wind is really whipping through and swirling around Brown Stadium.
Good unrelenting pressure that time by Taylor Brown, the nose guard. Assisted there by Brandon Copeland. Again, those guys just wouldn't quit on the pass rush, forcing Newhall Caballero to throw that ball, you know, short arm, but really it hit the dirt before it got to the receiver.
Wind is now blown straight into the small window space we have open here in the press box. Third and 10, the Brown Bears 2-for-4 on third down from the Quaker 22. Newhall Caballero rolling near right under pressure by Elias. Steve can't trip him up. Tightrope in the sideline. Pass is incomplete. Intended to Jimmy Saros down to the Quaker 4-yard line along the near right sideline. So Penn holds again.
Real good pressure, as you said, by Steve Elias that time. And Caballero, Newhall Caballero running for his life to the right side. It looked like he was hitting the short man. And then sort of changed up, and the ball actually was almost caught by the deep receiver that time.
13:59 to go in the first half. No score. Here comes Alex Narocha looking to attempt a 39-yard field goal, kicking into the rain, favoring the far left hash. Here's the snap. The hold is down. Kick is end over end, and it is good. It clanked off the near right upright, and then it dunked through. Field goal made by Alex Narocha on the season. That is six. And I wish I could have read that number a little bit more clearly, hence, with the rain on my seats. Now, the one week that you don't laminate the seats, here comes the rain into the press box.
We don't have a window on this press box either, just in case anybody's interested. So we talked about the rain shifting from right to left. When it's just coming dead in, dead on in here, we got a problem.
3-0.
Brian, that was a heck of a kick because he was actually kicking that into a pretty stiff wind and a pretty stiff rain in the face, and somehow he managed to get it through, as you said, bouncing it off the right upright.
3-0 Brown Bears with 13:53 to go in the opening half from Brown, where it's mostly rain, but maybe a little bit of sleet now getting mixed in, as Alex Narota will handle the kickoff. Ball plays pretty much right at the middle of that 30-yard line on his side of the field. Back deep to return for the Penn Quakers, Matt Hampshire, the far right side of the field. Spencer Kulsar near left. Narota twirls the ball short, top to bottom, one bounce to the 19. Kulsar between the hashes, 30, still on his feet, 35, and he plows down to the Quaker 38-yard line. Great return around 18 yards straight up the middle by Spencer Kulsar, the rookie.
Spencer just got behind Matt Hampshire, who's the other deep guy on that. As you said, it was kind of a pop-up kickoff, and they weren't able to field it in the air. Took a bounce. Kulsar went down to pick it up. Matt Hampshire wasted no time leading up through the middle. And that time again, now the wind is at wind and rain at Penn's back. So this is one of these swirling kind of days out here, Brian.
The rain is whipping around Brown Stadium with great force. First and 10, Penn from their own 38. Eye set, slot near left. Hand off Colavita, far right side. Fouls his block. 45, lost the football in Brown territory, and the Bears have got it. Brown recovers at its own 42-yard line. A.J. Cruz was down there for Brown to pick it up off of an increasingly wet and damp surface. And that's something hence goes without saying you've got to look out for today.
Well, that's a shame, because that was a heck of an effort. Well blocked up front. Nice opening for Brandon Colavito. And again, he kind of shook off a couple of tackles, lowered his shoulder. And as we're putting the window back here, trying to keep our equipment dry, another big break for Brown.
Three turnovers in the game so far. And the Penn Quakers didn't fumble last Saturday after fumbling five times at Columbia. But that one costly. First and 10, Brown, its own 43-yard line. Three receivers on the end around Jimmy Saros, far left, outside the numbers 45 to the 46-yard line.
Well, Brian, this game is going to get really messy. We've already seen people having a lot of trouble handling that football. We got 13 minutes to go in the second quarter, and conditions literally seem to be deteriorating by the minute.
To say the least. 13-10 to go in the first half. 3-0. Brown on top of the Quakers, moving from left to right. A very interesting tidbit, Henchmurray, that he's mentioned in just a moment concerning some key players involved on the Brown side. Out of the gun, Newhall Caballero, three-receiver package, slot near right, second and 7, his own 46. Throws complete just shy of midfield. Actually, we spotted the Quaker 49 at Helen Lundeball outside the numbers. As Newhall Caballero throwing a sharp ball hedge, trying to fight through the rain and wind.
It's just got to be tough to handle that football. It always seems to amaze me how well quarterbacks can handle that wet football. And the officials do the best they can to try to keep it dry, but it's sitting out there by its lonesome with no towel over it. Handling it in this condition is something that takes either a lot of luck or a lot of skill.
Brown is 2 for 5 on third downs. Three receiver package, slot now far left with motion from Fay. On third and 4, passes knocked down at the Quaker 45-yard line. Leaping for that one was Anthony Marino in there on the play for the Penn Quakers out of the secondary.
Great defense by Anthony Marino, again playing man-to-man out there on the right flat, and just managed to get a hand inside to bat that football away.
So now Nate Lovett will come on for the Brown Bears to try and put it away. The wind is still driving the rain from right to left. That's in the direction that Lovett will kick it. Lovett second in the Ivy League in punt yard average. Back to return for the Quakers. Ryan Calvert outside of the near left hash at his own 18. Lovett booms one, backing up Calvert, and he snags it at the Quaker 8-yard line with 12:02 to go in the opening half. 3-0 Brown on top of Canada from Nelligan Sports. Penn football on 5-6 WFIL. It is the Penn Sports Network.
Make the most of your time when you travel on Amtrak Acela Express for leisure or business. You'll get everything you need to work or relax, like conference tables for holding meetings, a quiet car to catch up on sleep, outlets to recharge your laptops and cell phones, and a bistro bar so you can grab a bite to eat or enjoy a refreshing beverage. To book your next trip on Amtrak, call 1-800-USA-RAIL or visit Amtrak.com. There's one place for great football, that's with the Quakers. And there's only one place for the best quality deli products. Your place, ShopRite. The star of the pregame show is always Black Bear premium quality deli products.
First and 10, Penn, own 8-yard line. Billy Ragone on the design keep over left guard. Getting it to the 9, 1-yard gain by Penn, trailing 3-0 at Brown.
That was a kind of freak around that time. Design play, giving it to Billy. And we're going to say it more times this afternoon than we probably care to, but he lost his footing basically and got tripped up there again because of the weather.
It'll be 2nd and 9, Penn. Oh, 9-yard line, straight eyes set. Hand off Colavita, patiently waiting right side between the hashes. Gets up to the 11-yard line, a gain of roughly 3 for the Penn Quakers.
Well, they would certainly like to get the ball out of their own territory here at the 11-yard line, their own 11-yard line. The wind is, as we've said, swirling and changing here, but right now it's at their back. But they'd like to get a little more cushion in terms of if they have to punt the football here.
Quakers 0 for 2 on third downs. We're going out of the gun. Third and around 8 from his own 11-yard line. 3 receivers far right, 1 near left. Ragone complete initially to Tommy Eggleston out across the 35, and then as he was falling to the damp grass turf, he lost hold of the football, and the Quakers will be put into a punting situation.
Well, that's the wet ball syndrome right there. Again, Tommy Eggleston looked like he had a well-thrown ball by Billy. Looked like it hit him in the hands and just slipped through.
Scott Lopato about 2.5-3 yards deep into his own end zone will kick from right to left. Scott Lopato, first time kicking in this direction. Moves a little bit to his right, hangs one up there. The ball hits a Brown up man, it looked like, at the Quaker 45. The red and blue pounce on it. Which player did it hit? The Quakers are claiming they have it. Ed Kispert came up with it at the Penn 45-yard line. Now Mike Roach and the officiating crew will gather. That deep to return for the Brown Bears was their reserve safety, Anthony Franciosi.
Well, they're saying it hit a Penn player, not a Brown player.
Well, it looked like perhaps Chelsea Brooks was in there for the Brown Bears trying to run downfield on coverage. But the Bears will take over on the plus side of the field with 10:35 to go in the second quarter on top of Penn 3-0. Kyle Newhall Caballero under center, two back set off set near right, slot to near right side of the field as well. First and 10, Quaker 43-yard line. Newhall Caballero hands off to Cody Talby. Trying to go around the left edge, and he's wrestled down after maybe getting 1 yard.
They seem to be actually attacking the weak side on that, Brian. We talked about the end over, the unbalanced look at the tackle over, I should say. That time was to the right, but they seem to run back off the left side with Colby. I guess assuming Penn is going to be over-shifting to the end at the tackle over.
2nd and 9 for the Bears from the Quaker 42. Straight eye set. Two receivers slide into the near right side of the field. Newhall Caballero play action under pressure, trying to dump it off. Incomplete. Down to the Quaker 35. The red and blue bringing big time pressure. And there, Cameron Jones at the defensive end spot.
Cameron was there just as Newhall Caballero came out of his fake, rolling on the bootleg to the right side. He had no choice but to kind of jump up in the air, jump shot that ball out of there to get it over Cameron Jones, but it wasn't really thrown to any particular receiver. It was just kind of intended to avoid the sack.
3rd and around 8 for the Brown Bears, 2 for 6 on third downs today. from the Quaker 41-yard line. Newhall Caballero out of the gun, flanked either side for protection. Two receivers split either side. Newhall Caballero, high snap, settles down. Here comes the blitz, thrown over the middle, complete. Wide open, Alex Harris, the tight end, between the hashes and the Quaker 27-yard line. A gain of 16 yards and a big third down conversion for the Bears.
Well, you got to believe that's a mix-up in coverage that time, because Harris, the tight end, simply went down about 10 yards. He was wide open in the seam that time. So, of course, an easy completion for Newhall Caballero.
Newhall Caballero, a lot of determination displayed so far this year. Brown has responded extremely well since suffering an Ivy League opening loss to Harvard back in week two. First and 10, Quaker 27. Straight eye set, receiver split, tight to either side. Newhall Caballero, play action, under pressure again. Evades pressure, he tosses and it's nearly picked off on the far left side of the field by Brian Giesecke, who had to go back behind his body to try and make the pick. There are two flags down on the field.
Well, that was great effort by Brian Giesecke. As you said, the tight end was lined up left. He's the weak side end on that unbalanced look, and Brian was playing him all the way. Got turned around, got some hands on the football, but unable to make the interception.
Penalty against the Brown Bears. Mike Roach will try and give us the call. That'll be the third penalty of the afternoon for Brown, leading 3-0 with 9:13 to go in a fast-paced but frigid, dreary, damp first half from Brown. Illegal pass downfield, loss of down, as Newhall Caballero was outside.
There's one place for great football, that's with the Quakers. And there's only one place for the best quality deli products. Your place, ShopRite.
Quaker 31-yard line, Newhall Caballero out of the gun. Four receiver package, trips near right, motion backfield, Sudfeld. Newhall Caballero swings it out to Sudfeld. Quaker 30, hops down to the pen, 25-yard line, a gain of around 5 yards. That'll make it third and somewhat manageable upcoming for the Brown Bears. 2 for 7 on third down today. 80th meeting all time between these two programs. Quakers lead the series, 56 wins, 21 losses, 2 ties, have won the last 2 after losing 4 in a row. 3rd and 8 Brown, 2 for 7 third downs. 3 receiver package, 2 far left. Newhall Caballero from the pen, 25-yard line, takes the snap, short drop, floats it near right over the sideline, incomplete. Great coverage by David Twomley down on his own 12-yard line, protecting against the threat of Tunkara Coney.
Well, that's a throw that just got away from Newhall Caballero. Again, that's the wet football. It sailed on him way over the receiver's head.
Rain puddles appearing on the rubber track surface surrounding Brown Stadium's grass field. The Quakers did bring their grass cleats for this game, and good thing they did. 4th and 8 Brown, 0-for-1 on 4th down today. From the Quaker 25-yard line, Newhall Caballero out of the gun, slot far left, and one receiver, Tonkana Coney, to the near right side of the field. Newhall Caballero drops, some pressure, goes near right, well short. Again, he was looking for Tunkara Coney at the Quaker 11. A flag does come in from behind from Michael Roach, the lead referee.
Very late flag again, Brian. Normally you think that's either roughing the passer or holding. If it was holding, it was really a late call.
Bears offense coming off the field. A personal foul against the Brown Bears, a chop block. Quakers decline the penalty. So the Penn Quakers take over on downs, trailing 3-0 with 8.5 minutes to go in a very quick-moving Edge Murray first half from Brown Stadium.
Yeah, 8:30 left in the second quarter. Penn has yet to get its offense in gear, and there may be lots of reasons for that. One is the Brown defense, two, the turnover that Brandon Colavita had on his fumble, and three, the conditions that we've talked to death about.
Well, one very crucial condition for the Brown Bears without their top two running backs today, Mark Catchmer and John Spooney. First and 10, 10, own 25 from right to left. Hand off to Calavita, burying a hole in between the hash marks out to the 26-yard line, a gain of around one. And it's real quick on that. Apparently, the word making its way up north from Philadelphia, despite the snowy conditions, still being able to get this nugget of info, apparently some suspensions handed down this past week in the Brown football program. So perhaps that a reason why neither Mark Katchmer nor John Spooney on the field today. Three receiver package panel on the far right side of the field. Second and 8 Quakers own 27. Hand off Calavita, bouncing far right outside the hashes between the numbers. And he surges out across the 40-yard line, a gain of 13. And Penn gets a chunk of yardage pretty much for the first time today.
Big first down by Brandon Calavito, and that's that play was reminiscent of the one that he fumbled on. So obviously he's taking a little better care of the football.
7.5 minutes to go until intermission. Brown 3-0 on a really impressive field goal make by Alex Narocha. Ragone out of the gun, three receivers again for Penn, this time flipped to the near left side of the field. Billy, handoff Calavita, slips a tackle, 45, cut back through a hole towards the hash marks, that's the 45-yard line, and what a move, Hench, by Brandon Calavita after there was some penetration in the backfield.
Yeah, that was Luke Miller, who's the defensive tackle for Brown, graduate of Episcopal Academy in Philadelphia. That time he was there just as Billy Ragone made the handoff to Brandon Calavito. Billy took a pretty good shot on that, but managed to make the handoff, and Brandon picked up 5.
Jeff Jack coming in to give Brandon Calavito a little bit of a break. 2nd and 5, Quakers own 45. Look at the jersey of Billy Ragone, muddied and grass-stained, 4-receiver package, trips near left. Ragone, play action, he's going to keep right up the gut, 45, midfield, 45-40. Billy's free to the far right sideline. Down to the Bears, 39.
Design quarterback draw. Billy, again, last week, I think, started to show the running ability that was so prevalent last year. That time, again, following Jeff Jack up into the hole on the draw fake or on the draw move, got a good block from Jack and then just showed some typical Billy Ragone moves once he got into the open field.
A game with the conditions, certainly Billy would be well-suited to take over. One receiver wide near left, Calvert, straight eye set, 1st and 10, Penn, Bears 39. Jeff Jack, hole right side, down to the 35, a flag is thrown in from the rear as Jack gets down to the Bears 34, just outside the numbers, far right sideline.
Well, you got to guess this is going to be a hold against the Quakers.
Least penalized team in the Ivy League. Hence, you don't just guess. You have a well-founded intuition. It is a hold. That'll be a 10-yard penalty, and the Quakers will be forced to repeat 1st down. Ooh. As Penn gets moved back all the way to the Bears' 49-yard line.
Boy, that's really kind of a momentum buster there, because they had some pretty good movement on the ground, and that may be the way it's going to have to be today, Brian.
Passing game for the Penn Quakers, Billy Ragone 3 for 7. Kyle Newhall Caballero 10 for 23. 4 receivers, empty backfield, trips to the near left side, and there's plenty of movement early as Luke Naraki was already 5 yards downfield, and that will be another penalty against Penn, making it now 1st and 25 upcoming as the Quakers will head back to their own 46.
Well, the defensive end for Brown moved as if he were shifting to the outside, and I think, I don't know whether that threw off Naraki's concentration or what, because Luke clearly went before the ball was snapped, and sometimes, you know, if you're not totally focused, that can happen.
Both teams, all 3 timeouts. Quakers again, 4 receivers, trips to the near left side. We're going out of the gun. 1st and 25, his own 46. He retreats to his own 35, floats it far right sideline. He was seeking a Luke Naraki, incomplete, thrown about 5 yards in front of the senior tri-captain tight end.
Looked like he might have had Ryan Calvert running the deep post that time. Naraki was running the out and up, he was pretty well covered, but again, trying to throw the football in these conditions is problematic. Throwing it deep is even more problematic.
Hench, I was given a note. It says, plowing the field at Yale and Columbia. And given that Columbia was shut out last Saturday, I initially interpreted that to mean something having to do with the score. But apparently, it is the snow plow at Robert K. Kraft Field that's out.
Oh, my.
Second and 25, Penn slot near left. Short far right is Calvert. Billy, a deep drop. Good time. Pocket collapses. Billy across midfield. That'll be knocked to the grass in Bears territory at the 47-yard line. Gain of around eight for Billy Ragone.
Well, that's a case where he had plenty of time to look down the field, didn't see anything he liked, and decided to tuck it away and go right up the middle, which he did. Looks like they got a spy on Billy Ragone, which is probably not a bad idea. And you can see that the mobility and the cutting ability of these guys has been hampered because of the field conditions.
Third and two. For the Penn, I beg your pardon, third and 25 for the Penn Quakers from the Bears 48. Billy takes the snap, drops, lofts it down the middle of the field. It's incomplete over the head of Joe Holder, but a late flag is thrown in. Perhaps pass interference. Ball thrown down by the 20-yard line of the Bears. Quakers had been 0 for 3 on third downs. Might get one on a penalty here.
I think that was Robert Gillette, the defender. Again, it's hard to see some of the numbers here when your glasses are getting fogged up. But he actually had better position than Joe Holder did to make that completion. They had a collision, and I'm not sure now what they're saying.
Well, they're saying pass interference on the outside linebacker, Gillette, and that is a revitalizing break for the Penn Quakers with 4:23 to go in the first half. Round leading 3-0.
Ooh. Yeah, Penn can take that break. But again, that was somewhat problematic because Gillette had better position to make the catch than Joe Holder did. No doubt there was collision, and the official behind the play threw the flag. So
officials take a breather on the field right now, Hench, as
right.
The rain continues to wrap down really hard and swirl from right to left as we see it. Offense for the Penn Quakers, well, somewhat tough to come by so far this afternoon. 118 yards, eye set for the red and blue. Mitchell, the short receiver, lone receiver to the far right side. Motion to Rocky, near left, far right. From the Bears, 33, handoff, Colavita, hole, pass right, and Brandon Colavita moving the legs and turning down to the Brown 27-yard line, a gain of around six.
Boy, as the conditions continue to get worse here, it's really going to be an offensive lineman's day to see if they can create running lanes for Colavita and Billy Ragone and Jeff Jack, who's in there now, tailback.
Second and four upcoming for the Penn Quakers from right to left from the Bears' 27-yard line. Penn missed a field goal attempt earlier in the game off the right foot of Connor Loftus. Alex Narocha sending one off the right upright and through. They have Brown a 3-0 advantage, which it currently enjoys. Four receiver package, trips to the near left side. Tailback is Jeff Jack, and a timeout will be taken by the George A. Munger head coach of football at Penn, Al Bagnoli. This might be our first timeout.
This is our first timeout.
3 minutes, 38 seconds to go in the first half, 3-0. Brown from Providence from Elegant Sports, Penn Football on 560 WFIL, the Penn Sports Network.
There's one place for great football, that's with the Quakers. And there's only one place for the best quality deli products. Your place, ShopRite. The star of the pregame show is always Black Bear premium quality deli products. Available exclusively at ShopRite. You'll never find any MSG in Black Bear deli products. For lunch bags, game day, or any time, choose premium quality Black Bear deli. Visit ShopRite's Appy department and let us create fabulous Black Bear deli platters for your next gathering. One place, your place, ShopRite. And go Quakers!
Hi, I'm an air vent. I'm part of the old heating and cooling system that's gobbling energy in your home. The harder I work, the more you pay. It's delicious irony. Just fall.
Replace your old heating and cooling system with an energy-efficient one, and PECO will pay you up to $400. Plus, you could save 20% a year.
Little help here.
PECO. We put our energy into lots of programs that save you money. For eligibility and savings details, visit PECO.com/smartideas or call 888-5-PECO-SAVE.
560 WFIL.
Jeff Jack on second and four from the Bears 27 around the left side. He takes the splash into some mud at the Bears 24-yard line. Clock moving, 3:20 to go in the first half. 3-0 ground. A big third down for the Penn Quakers. 0-for-3 on third down conversion tries today. Three plays ago helped out on a big pass interference penalty. Billy Ragone under center, straight eye set. Up back is Schuster, tail back Colavita. Wide far right the receiver, Mitchell. Hand off Colavita over left guard. He'll go virtually nowhere. Tackled by a swarm of Bears, maybe losing about a yard. Good pursuit by Brown. So with the wind blowing from, what is it, Hatch, right to left, which is the direction that Penn's, who knows what direction the swirling wind is going, as there is a timeout on the field with 2 minutes 37 seconds to go in the first half, 3-0 Brown. The officials just want to make sure they have the spot of the ball correct. But it does not appear as if, Hatch, this would be territory in which Connor Loftus would be sent out on the field to try and tie the game up.
Well, I don't think so, certainly in light of his first missed attempt, which, as we said, Brian, he had the distance, but he pushed it off to the right.
Could be close for the Quakers. It was third and short. Penn's about maybe a yard and a half short on a first down. They need to get to the Bears' 23-ish yard line.
Well, I think Penn wanted to take that time out there just to get regrouped.
Driving rain at Brown Stadium, nothing but gray in the sky outside. The Quakers have about fourth and a yard and a half.
Now they're still showing Penn having two timeouts, Brian. I thought they took timeout, but perhaps it was just to see if they could get the measurement and stop the clock. So
Penn Quakers with a couple fourth down conversions so far this season, trying to move closer towards the red zone and potentially tying this game up. We're doing a few points better. We're going under center, two receivers split either side, tailback Colavita, and now the Penn Quakers will utilize their second of three first half timeouts of 2:27 to go until the break.
Well, that time they certainly took the timeout, and they probably didn't like the defense that Brown was lined up in. So they're going to get over the sideline and talk it over.
The red and blue seeking a 19th straight Ivy League victory. Billy Ragone entered today for the Penn Quakers, 18 passing yards shy of 2,000 in his career. He has exceeded that by four, so congratulations to Billy Ragone. And also Billy entered 53 rushing yards shy of 1,000 for his career. And Billy Ragone needs five more rushing yards to get to that milestone. Trying to become a member of that rare Red and Blue club, hence of 2,000 yards passing and 1,000 yards on the ground. It's just his second full season. And he really has emerged as a terrific passing quarterback the last month since the Brown win. Big fourth and 1.5 for the Penn Quakers from the Bears. 24, tailback Colavita, receiver split, now motion. Under center, backing out Ragone into the gun. Tight ends, two of them shift to the near left side. Billy fakes the handoff to the left side, runs right, being stretched out to the 25. He's wrestled down, lost the football. Goes over the far sideline, and Brown, using that sideline as a 12th defender, stops Penn with 2:19 to go until the half.
Well, it's the second time they've tried that play where they shift the tight end and wing back, Naraki and Allen, from right to left and try to fake the ball coming to the left side. Billy holds on to it and tried to sprint to the right sideline. And again, I don't know under these conditions whether that was a call that was the one you really want to make. You've got Brandon Colavito, you need a yard and a half, and you probably want to be going something that's straight ahead, not side to side.
Newhall Caballero and the Brown Bears take over at their own 26. He's under center, receiver split in the two-wide package. Tailback is called. He gets the call. The Quakers bring him down after he pushes ahead over the far left hash mark for a gain of around 2 yards to the 28. Brown has all three of its first half timeouts as we approach 2 minutes left in the second quarter. Rain began falling at Brown after, well, maybe the opening series of the game for the Brown Bears, now operating from left to right. Newhall Caballero under center, straight eye set. Two receivers, one either side. Second and eight Bears, their own 27-yard line. Hand off to Talby, trying to bounce to the far left side. He is run into and repelled backwards by the Quaker interior. Leading the charge, Eric Rask for Penn.
Good team defense. Cameron Jones, the defensive end on that side, trying to strip the football. There were three or four Quakers around Talby that time, trying to see if they could pry it loose. Unable to do so. Brown faced with third and about nine, a minute and 8 seconds to go. Penn has one timeout. Should they force a fourth down here, they're probably going to take it.
From the Bears' 27-yard line, four receiver package, three near right. Out of the gun, Newhall Caballero. Talby to his left, 5 seconds play clock, 49 to play in the first half. With 1 second on the play clock, snap is just made. Newhall Caballero scrambling to the near right side. He's got a receiver open, and it's complete. The Bears 36 to Jonah Fay. That should be right by the first down marker. See if a measurement will be taken. Game clock stopped, 38 seconds to go in the first half, but it will be spotted just above the 36 in the Bears' first down. 4 for 8 now is Brown on third down conversions today.
So Brown has three timeouts, but they seem to be content to let the clock run out here. They are coming out of the huddle.
It'll be first and 10 Bears, own 37 with 15 seconds to go in the second quarter. Newhall Caballero out of the gun, four receiver package, one short to the near right side of the field. Newhall Caballero hands off. Talby has a gap, 45 outside the numbers, near right to the 46. 1 second to go in the second quarter, and that should just about do it after a gain of roughly 9 yards. And Brown will let the game clock hit triple zeros to complete the sloggy, at times sloppy, wet, damp first half of play at Brown. Come to an end with the Bears on top, Hench Murray, by a score of 3-0.
We're going to run out of adjectives to describe the conditions here as it gets worse and worse with the rain continuing to pound down on the field. And in many ways, a pretty sloppy first half of football. You know, the ball's on the turf, had interceptions, we've had muck punts, and we've had Penn's fruitless ability to get the ball into the end zone or through the uprights. And there was a crucial failure to convert the fourth down situation as they were within field goal range, certainly, if they continued that drive. But, you know, they have not shown any of the consistency that they did in the second half last week against Yale.
Well, the good news for the Red and Blue is that the team will get the ball to begin the second half of play here at Providence Stadium. There is no end in sight to this pounding rain in, well, it's probably now sub-40-degree Providence, Rhode Island. 3-0 the Brown Bears on an Alex Narocha field goal that he banged off the near right upright, kicking into some rain, helping Brown to a first half lead through the first 30 minutes of play. Coming up on the Quaker Halftime Report, we'll give you scores from around the rest of the Ivy League. We'll also have a one-on-one conversation with Brandon Colavita, trying to get the ground game going for the Penn Quakers after a career performance last Saturday at Penn. 3-0, Brown Bears. First half is through. From Nelligan Sports, Penn Football on 560 WFIL, it's the Penn Sports Network.
Make the most of your time when you travel on Amtrak Acela Express for leisure or business. You'll get everything you need to work or relax, like conference tables for holding meetings, a quiet car to catch up on sleep, outlets to recharge your laptops and cell phones, and a bistro bar so you can grab a bite to eat or enjoy a refreshing beverage. To book your next trip on Amtrak, call 1-800-USA. Rail or visit Amtrak.com.
Most ground in football is gained in the trenches. Offense pushes through play after play, setbacks and advances, but always forward progress to the end zone.
At Kindred Hospitals, the end zone is recovery. As one of Fortune Magazine's most admired companies 3 years running, we offer high-intensity medical care to patients who need continued care after a short-term hospital stay. Through the trenches, yard by yard, we push forward toward recovery. Kindred Hospitals, continue the care. For more information, visit kindredhospitals.com.
Coke Zero tastes like Coke, but what good is telling you that on the radio? If you're in your car and you hear me sing it, you have to take my word for it. And that makes you one of those guys who believes everything he hears on the radio. Or you can not believe me, but that makes you a cynic. So you're either the guy who believes everything on the radio, or a super suspicious guy who doesn't believe anything. But there is a third option. You can try one. Then you can taste and see if what you heard on the radio is true. Unless you want to be one of those other guys. Coca-Cola Zero. Real Coke taste and zero calories.
Everyone knows that the Quakers show great teamwork, and ShopRite does too. The ShopRite Partners in Caring program is teamed with great brands to raise money and hunger awareness in our communities. ShopRite has donated more than $24 million to local food banks and shelters in our communities. When you purchase products marked at the shelf with the ShopRite Partners in Caring symbol, you are helping too. Join ShopRite in the fight against hunger in our communities. It really can and does make a difference where you shop.
Over the years, those so-called all-you-can-eat buffets just never really lived up to the hype, especially the bit about offering home-style cooking. On the other hand, people travel from miles around to enjoy the legendary savory goodness of the Shady Maple Smorgasbord near the heart of Lancaster, PA. A 200-foot buffet featuring 40 different items, including 7 different kinds of juicy fresh-cooked meats and daily grill specials, 14 fresh veggies, a huge salad bar, 25 sumptuous desserts. Check the Shady Maple website for daily menus and specials. There's plenty of seating for large and small groups. So come on up and visit Shady Maple. Enjoy a wonderful, old-fashioned, home-style meal after spending the day in beautiful Lancaster County, PA. Oh, by the way, you've never been to a farmer's market until you've been to the Shady Maple Farmer's Market. It's right next door to the Smorgasbord. If you think I'm kidding, go to shady-maple.com. You won't believe it.
Quaker fans, looking for the best meal deal in Philadelphia? Come on down to Abner's Cheesesteak in University City, a Patton tradition. Abner's is located at 3818 Chestnut Street, and it's home to the best cheesesteaks in Philadelphia. The next time you're visiting historic Franklin Field, the Palestra, or anywhere else on the Penn campus, be sure and stop by Abner's Cheesesteaks of University City. Abner's Cheesesteaks of University City, a proud supporter of Penn Athletics.
560 WFIL.
Mother Nature is having her say on a soggy, sloppy Saturday afternoon, October the 29th, from Brown Stadium in Providence, Rhode Island, where the umbrellas are out in full force. The poncho is being sported as well, and the rain has been unrelenting thus far. The Brown Bears able to capitalize on a field goal make 39 yards out by Alex Nerochik. It banged off of the right upright, and he was kicking to our right. Amidst some rain and some wind, a very impressive connection for Alex Nerochik, his sixth field goal made of the year. The only points in this game, 3-0. The Brown Bears leading the Penn Quakers. Penn 4-2 overall this year, one of two undefeated teams in the Ivy League, entering today at 3-0. The Brown Bears, this one is essential for Brown at 2-1 in the league, trying to really mix things up in the conference chase heading down the stretch of 2011. Along with our studio coordinator, Walt Cooper, my partner, Hench Murray, my name's Brian Seltzer. Time now to go around the Ancient Eight on the Comcast Sportsnet out-of-town scoreboard. It's brought to you by Comcast Sportsnet. Nobody does Philly college football better than our pals at Comcast Sportsnet. One other score at the half, the Yale Bulldogs and Columbia Lions in New York City. The Yale Bulldogs trying to rebound following Penn's come-from-behind win last Saturday at Franklin Field. Yale 3-3 overall this year, 2-1 in the Ivy League. Columbia winless at 0-6 and 0-3 in the conference standings through 30 minutes of play. 3-0, the Yale Bulldogs on top of Columbia. Winding down in the first quarter with 3:56 to go. There's a trend in terms of the scores in all these games here. It's the Cornell Big Red looking for Ivy League victory number one, 2-4 overall.
0-3 in the conference standings, at 1-5, 1-2 Princeton, and the Cornell Big Red driving with the ball, leading 3-0 at Princeton Stadium. Very intriguing game later on tonight, just in time for the snow to arrive. That's why Harvard scheduled the night game at the end of October. 6 o'clock kickoff between the Dartmouth Big Green, 2-4 overall, 1-2 in the Ivy League, and the Harvard Crimson, 5-1, tied with Brown for the best overall record in the league, and tied with Penn for first place in the conference at 3-0. Now, Dartmouth with a shutout victory last Saturday over Columbia, so maybe some momentum for a senior class at Dartmouth that is still in belief, despite a record of 1-2 in the league, that it could be in the mix. And, well, if Dartmouth takes care of business tonight, that would certainly add a lot of kind of mind-consuming situations that you'd have to figure out, plan things out, because, you know, you could technically be looking, and hopefully this isn't the case, at a scenario where by the end of today, there will be multiple teams in the Ivy League, four of them, with one loss in the conference standings, which would really set up for a very exciting push towards this year's Ivy League Cup down the stretch of 2011. Here at Brown Stadium, it's 3-0 Bears on a 39-yard second quarter field goal by Alex Narocha. On the other side, a one-on-one conversation with junior tailback Brandon Colavita on a rainy, windy, dreary day in Providence. The running game is what Penn will have to rely on. Brandon will be reflecting on a big performance last Saturday in the win over Yale. Quaker Halftime Report from Nelligan Sports here on 560 WFIL, the Penn Sports Network.
What's that big building on City Avenue? You know, right near the entrance to the expressway. It's the Crown Plaza Philadelphia West Hotel, and its reputation is growing by the day. With its central location right off the expressway, smart folks realize it's a much better value than pricey and stuffy Center City hotels. See everything awaiting you at cpphilawest.com. That's cpphilawest.com. City Ave's crowning touch.
Coke Zero tastes like Coke, but what good is telling you that on the radio? If you're in your car and you hear me say it, you have to take my word for it. And that makes you one of those guys who believes everything he hears on the radio. Or you could not believe me, but that makes you a cynic. So you're either the guy who believes everything on the radio, or a super suspicious guy who doesn't believe anything. But there is a third option. You could try one. Then you can taste and see if what you heard on the radio is true. Unless you want to be one of those other guys. Coca-Cola Zero. Real Coke taste and zero calories.
When you were 18, you fixed your own car. Then you fixed your friend's car. Then you fixed your friend's sister's car. Then you fixed your friend's sister's uncle's car. And next thing you know, you had yourself a car repair business. And while you're definitely an expert on four-cylinder engines, you're not exactly an expert on employee health insurance. No problem.
Well, I don't know what I'm looking for, but I know that I just want to look some more.
At Independence Blue Cross, we make it easy for you to find a plan that fits your growing business. You see, we have lots of choices that are flexible and affordable, so you can find a plan that keeps deductibles low. You can modify it to add wellness programs, and you can customize the plan to keep it within your budget. So whether your business is small or big, go to plansthatfit.com. Independence Blue Cross. Now more than ever, we're here for you every step of the way. Independent licensee at the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association.
We know. We get it. We live it. In Philly, when the Eagles play, it's not just a game. It's an all-day thing. So on game day, there's only one place to go. Comcast Sportsnet. Kick it off with Eagles pregame live. Then spend halftime with Michael Barkan and Ray Dittinger on CSNPhilly.com. After the game, catch interviews you won't see anywhere else on Eagles postgame live. Get the best Eagles coverage on game day. Only on Comcast Sportsnet. We live Philly sports. As a smart consumer, you want to be rewarded for your purchases. That's why we're pleased to offer you the Penn Platinum Plus Visa card with World Points Rewards, brought to you by Bank of America. This card offers an outstanding combination of services and benefits while giving you the flexibility to choose the rewards you really want. With every account open and every purchase made, Bank of America helps support Penn student and alumni programming. Learn more or apply today at alumni.upenn.edu.
Isn't it amazing? When we're in the middle of our crazy schedules, we hardly notice how overloaded our lives can get. Until we take the time to notice. Sitting in front of a fireplace like this can be a good start. Better yet, wouldn't it be great to get away from all the distractions and overblown schedules for a few days? Spend some meaningful time in the words, in prayer, and share fellowship with other believers who want to sharpen their focus on the Lord? A refreshing winter retreat can be just what your Christian group is looking for. If it's been too long since you've taken time to notice where your life is heading, Black Rock Retreat invites you to come, slow down, and be refreshed this winter at Black Rock Retreat. 800-858-9299 or blackrockretreat.com. We're serving God by serving you. BlackRockRetreat.com.
This champagne's delicious.
Only the batch for my wife on her anniversary, right?
Oh, honey, this afternoon, I signed you, me, and the kids up for unlimited mobile-to-mobile minutes.
We do not have piles of money lying around just waiting to be spent on extravagant purchases like that. Waiter, may I see the cork, please?
What are you doing?
Trying to put the cork back in this bottle of champagne we can no longer afford so our kids can still go to college one day?
They were free. I got them when I signed us up for unlimited messaging.
Drink up, honey. It's French.
When you buy an unlimited messaging plan, families can call any U.S. mobile phone free. More value from AT&T.
AT&T has exclusive Windows phones like the Samsung Focus with a brilliant 4-inch touchscreen. And now for a limited time, you can get yours for free. Visit store for details. AT&T. Rethink possible.
Messaging unlimited plan required. Available on select plans. Domestic calling to U.S. mobile numbers only. Other restrictions and conditions apply. New 2-year wireless service agreement with minimum $15 monthly data plan required. Phone subject to availability. Windows Phone is a trademark of the Microsoft Group of Companies. See att.com/anymobile or store for complete details.
There's one place for great football, that's with the Quakers. And there's only one place for the best quality deli products. Your place, ShopRite. The star of the pregame show is always Black Bear premium quality deli products. Available exclusively at ShopRite. You'll never find any MSG in Black Bear deli products. For lunch bags, game day, or any time, choose premium quality Black Bear deli. Visit ShopRite's Appy department and let us create fabulous Black Bear deli platters for your next gathering. One place, your place, ShopRite. And go Quakers!
Coke Zero tastes like Coke. But what good is telling you that on the radio? If you're in your car and you hear me say it, you have to take my word for it. And that makes you one of those guys who believes everything he hears on the radio. Or you cannot believe me, but that makes you a cynic. So you're either the guy who believes everything on the radio, or a super suspicious guy who doesn't believe anything. But there is a third option. You could try one. Then you can taste and see if what you heard on the radio is true. Unless you want to be one of those other guys. Coca-Cola Zero. Real Coke taste and zero calories.
It's Mark Daniels Live, afternoons at 4 on 560 WFIL.
Battling the rain are the Penn Quakers trailing the Brown Bears at the half, 3-0. We're battling line connectivity issues up here in the press box, so your patience much appreciated. Time now to turn it over to an interview recorded with Brandon Colavita earlier in the week. Colavita in the first half, 9 carries, 53 yards. We had 103 more than that last Saturday, career day, 156 yards on the ground for the Penn Quakers in their win 1 week ago against the Yale Bulldogs. First thing I asked them this past week when we sat down, what was the feeling inside that locker room when you guys burst for 27 points in the fourth quarter, a run capped off by a 24-yard Colavita score?
I mean, the feeling inside the locker room was great. The intensity throughout the game, it was incredible. Our sideline erupted on any play towards them. You know, players on the bench were just really up for the game. You know, we saw Yale's a pretty big challenge for us, and to pull out a win in the fourth quarter like that is a real confidence booster for us.
And the clinching touchdown that really put the Yale Bulldogs out of reach was the 24-yard run that you ripped off on that third down conversion. Nice to see the Quakers get that third down conversion after you guys were battling for that throughout the day. What opened up for you on that play?
Honestly, I believe we've been running a lot of QB sneaks on those short yardage situations, and the defense really collapsed on it. And I think I made one cut, and it was daylight for plenty of yards, so didn't have to do too much on that play. It was a lot of the line blocking. So
another rushing touchdown for you this year. You had a dozen of them last year for the Penn Quakers, year in which you ran for 728 yards. Real breakout for you in 2010. What was going through last year like, and what do you think that you proved maybe to yourself going through that, getting ready for this year?
You know, last year I was really just happy to get the opportunity to just be out there to do something other than special teams. But this year I feel like my role has really increased to where I built a lot of trust with my teammates, and you know, during those tough yardage situations, I feel like I have their trust to get the first down and stuff like that. So
what was the biggest thing you worked on this past off season to progress, develop upon what you demonstrated last year?
You know, I've watched a lot of film. I feel like physically, I've been in the weight room all summer. I mean, squats, bench, deadlifts, all that stuff. And but really, I kept my nose in the playbook, and I watched a lot of film to see where I could improve with my my defensive reads was a big thing for me that I really wanted to improve upon this season. I think it's working out pretty well.
Are you a guy that likes to be around the film, breakdown footage, usually in there in the Fort Football Office Complex looking at the footage?
Yeah, there's nothing better than getting a good idea of what you're about to face, and seeing some flaws in defenses is something I really like to get out of the way early. So
you're just one of a few members of a very talented offensive backfield for the Penn Quakers. Jeff Jack has been involved throughout the year. Greg Schuster, fullback, developing as well. Lyle Marsh, unfortunately, going down with injury. And then, of course, your starting quarterback in Billy Ragone. What identity do you guys as rushers try and bring to the offense?
I mean, as a stable, as our running back core, we're pretty power based, I'd say. We like to say we have speed, but we really like to lower our shoulders in any situation we can. You know, where defense is down, and we usually let Billy try to run around them, but we're trying to run through them. So.
Brandon Colavita, junior tailback for the Penn Quakers. He accounted for 53 of the Red and Blues' 124 yards in the opening half at Brown Stadium in Providence, Rhode Island. Forecast at the outset of the day calling for snow up here. I have not gotten that yet. It was really, hence Murray, torrential rains. The Penn Quakers take the field dressed in white, but you might not know it after some of the mud and grass stains collected on the jersey. The Brown Bears, brown tops, silver pants, and leading the Penn Quakers. 3-0, the first time Edge Penn has been shut out in a half since 2008 against the Yale Bulldogs.
Well, it was a half of hits and misses, some effective running inside, some early decent throwing by Billy Ragone until the ball really just kind of got wet. But they have not had the consistency that's going to be necessary in the second half if they expect to win this football game.
The Penn Quakers will receive to begin the second half. Red and Blue will return the football from left to right. Rain driving down that way. Spencer Kolsar, an 18-yard return earlier in the game, far left at his own 14. Hampshire near right Alex Narocha will kick it away for the Brown Bears. He's the difference so far. A 39-yard field goal make into the wind and rain. 3-0 Brown. Getting ready for the start of the third quarter. Penn Quakers unbeaten in the Ivy League, having won four in a row. Brown tied for the best overall record with Harvard at 5-1. Narocha booms one, twirling it top to bottom. Knocked down to the 16, Hampshire between the hashes. He gets to the 30-yard line. Ball will be spotted at the 32 for Matt Hampshire, the senior on the return. Hence Billy Ragone, left-handed throwing quarterback in the first half. 3-for-8, a pick that deflected off the shoulder of Joe Holder. 22 yards, however, Ragone ran for 46 yards on 8 carries.
Well, it's one of those situations where conditions dictate your game plan a little bit. I know Penn came into this game expecting to throw the ball a lot. 8 for the half is not a lot.
Quakers again struggling on third down conversions. 0-for-4 first half. Ragone to the red and blue from left to right. First and 10 on 32. Three receivers near left side. Hand off Colavita, scurries around one would-be tackler at the Quaker 36-yard line. A gain of 4, 15 seconds into the second half.
Well, that's a play they like to run at any time and any place. The inside handoff off the shotgun to Brandon Colavito. Again, it's an option look. That time he got the give read to Colavito, and Brandon picked up about 4.5.
There were several turnovers in the first half, a muff punt, a pick, a fumble by Colavita. Two receiver package, Calvert wide near right. We're going under center, second and six, his own 36 up the gut between the hashes. The Penn Quakers going to the ground once again. And with the call for Penn, Colavita up to around the 39, a gain of roughly 3.
And we've said this before, Brian, but you'd like to think they can get 3.5 on any play, and 3.5 is 10 yards for first down. And here's a situation that is exactly what we're talking about. They got about 3.5 to go to get this first down. Brandon Colavito probably is the guy.
Third and 3, Quakers, own 39. Two receivers split either side. We're going under center, backs after the gun. Colavito to his left. Mitchell motion backfield. Hand off to Mitchell. Left end, 40, 45, and Ryan Mitchell converts the Penn Quakers' first third down of the afternoon after the Red Bull 47.
Another wrinkle off that end around and off that shift look to get strength.
His sixth rush of the season. Straight eye set, tailback Colavita, up back Schuster, slot near right. We're going under center, first and 10 on 47, lost the football. But Billy pounced on it. That might end up resulting in a loss of about a half yard for going to the Quakers.
Yeah, Billy under center that time. That, you know, we've said it too many times already, the wet football makes that tough. It is a little bit different in the second half, though, Brian. The officials now seem to have towels out there. That might help a little bit.
Now it seems that the rain is starting to blow from left to right, the direction that the Quakers are headed in. With 12:43 to go and quarter number 3 from Brown, trailing 3-0. Play clock at 10, Penn just breaking the huddle. It'll be 2nd and 11 after the fumble. 4 receiver package, empty backfield, trips near right. Ragone takes the snap from his own 46. He kind of push passes it forward to the left side. It's loose on the field. Fumbled forward. Did the Bears come up with it? They did. The Quakers lost the football. Ryan Calvert, as if he hit the eject button, just pushed it forward. And the Brown Bears have got third turnover cause.
I don't think he took a particularly vicious hit or anything that time. And you described it. Billy just shot-putted that ball out there. It wasn't, you could hardly call it a pass. But Ryan Calvert got his hands on it, picked up positive yardage. And then as he went down, he coughed up the football.
Brown will take over at its own 45-yard line. Kyle Newhall, Caballero in the first half, 11 of 24, 104 yards, out of the gun. Three receivers, slot near left. Newhall, Caballero rolls to the left side. Throws complete midfield to Tankara Coney, and he goes back inside the numbers. The ball came loose after his knee hit the turf, the Red Blue 46-yard line. And that's where Brown will be. Should be enough. Very close to a first down. At the very worst, it will be second and about inches for the Bears.
With the Delaware Valley turns. AM 560, WFIL Philadelphia, serving the world at WFIL.com.
The left pass, two receivers, one split either side, second and inches, Quaker 46. Newhall Caballero gives off to Talby to the near left side, trying to turn the corner, tripped up from behind. Taylor Brown, the nose guard in there for the Quakers.
Boy, nice effort by Taylor Brown, as you said, coming out of that nose guard spot, staying on his feet, going to his right, managed just to make a dive and caught an ankle. And that, again, is a factor here. The conditions are such that if you don't have good footing, that ankle tackle, that shoestring tackle is going to bring you down.
Round 4 for 9, third downs, third and roughly 2 upcoming from the Quaker 47-yard line. 3-0 Bears, 4 minutes gone by, third quarter. Newhall Caballero out of the gun, 3-receiver package, too tight to the far right side of the field. From the Quaker 47, Newhall Caballero barks for the snap, catches it belt high. Now he stumbles, he sidearms the throw, and it's picked off. Rask midfield, shakes the tackle, 45, Rask down to the Brown Bears 41-yard line. Newhall Caballero scrambling, trying to improvise hits, and Eric Rask right there for the Quaker interception.
Boy, he'd like to have that throw back. It really wasn't a pass again. It was very much like the one Billy were going through. He kind of shot, puts it out to the right as he's going down to the turf. And he had no idea, Frank McBrien, where that ball was going to go, but it ended up in Eric Rask's hands, and he took it forward for another 6 or 7 yards. So Penn has certainly had some opportunities here. This, again, a big one. They take over possession at the Brown 40-yard line.
So Kyle Newhall Caballero throwing an interception for the first time since the second week of the season. Eyes set for the Quakers, three receivers slot near left, red and blue, from left to right. First and 10, Bears 40. We're going under center. Driving rain. He and the Quakers down three. A hard snap, and Brown might have hopped off sides. Flag thrown in by Mike Roach, the lead referee on a gloomy Saturday in Providence, Rhode Island.
Looked like Billy gave a little bit of a hard count there to try to get him off sides, and it appears to have worked. You know, sometimes in a situation like that, you're not sure whether one of those offensive linemen flinched and threw the defense into the neutral zone, but not this time. Apparently, it's going to go against Brown.
It is offsides against the Brown Bears, Stephen Hayden, perhaps, and that is the fourth penalty of the day for Brown. So that will advance the Quakers to the Bears 35, bring up first and five with 10:41 to go. In quarter number three, Penn trying to string together an offensive spark. We're going under center as two receivers slide to the near right side of the field. Tail back in the eye, Colin Vito, loose ball on the turf after the snap. And Billy Ragone has to pounce on it. So he and Chris Bush have really working today. And Bush has played a great center so far this year. But obviously with the rain being what it is, a challenge today.
Yeah, well, in that first down play when they got the offsides penalty against Brown, they were looking to hit Ryan Calvert deep down the left sideline. Of course, then they get a first and five, and they probably junked that play, figuring they could get an easy first down covering that 5 yards.
The loss of a yard, so it's now second and six for Penn from the Brown 36. Lone tailback, Kyle Avita, two receivers, split either side, Mitchell near right, Calvert far left. We're going hands off to Kyle Avita. Kyle Avita is going to be dropped for a big loss of around 6 yards. Back to the Brown Bears 41-yard line. And the red and blue not going in the positive direction, to say the least.
Well, the ball in the left hash, and they decided to run left with it. Not a lot of room to run over there. And not that he was going to get to the corner anyway, because there was early penetration by Brown. Brandon, really, there was nothing much he could do.
Now, you wouldn't say that this is necessarily four-down territory, but it's four-down conditions. Quakers now third and nine, and 1 for 5 third downs. Four receivers, empty backfield, trips near right. The Bears 39, Billy takes the snap, looks near right, throws complete to Ryan Mitchell, is wrapped up by Daniel Smithwick just outside the 40-yard line, down to the Bears 37. Gain around three.
Quick answer, as you said, to Ryan Mitchell. Smith was right there to make the tackle as soon as he got his hands on the football. So, again, another opportunity with a disappointing outcome here for the Quakers.
Scott Lopano and the Quakers will try to tip field position in Penn's favor. Lopano at his own 49, favoring the near right hash, to boot it away to Anthony Forsini. Lopano, good touch on that one. Fair catch called for and taken by the Bears at their own 14-yard line. So Scott Lopato pins the Brown Bears inside their 10th punt inside the 20-yard line this season. For Lopato, 8:31 to go in the third quarter, 3-0 the Brown Bears on top. Kyle Newhall Caballero leading Brown back on the field. National Football Foundation Scholar finalist. Brown from right to left, beginning at their own 15-yard line. High set backfield. Two receivers, one either side, from the near left hash mark. Newhall Caballero under center. Hands off to Ivy. Far left across the 20, and he explodes out across the 25 and out to the 27-yard line. Jeffrey Eisen with the carry for Brown.
Well, I think you're going to see more of that kind of play action there. It was a simple draw to Ivan, as you said, going off the right side. Hard to get your footing out there.
Top two tailbacks not available for Brown. It'll be first and 10 Bears from the Brown 28. Two-back set, offset near left slot with two receivers to the near left side as well. Play action, Newhall Caballero slips, falls, and then he's going to be sacked by Taylor Brown, the nose guard, with his first sack of the season. Big loss for the Bears.
Boy, it's a good thing Taylor Brown got there because they had the tight end. Again, Brown, given that unbalanced formation, the tight end was on the right side. And he just took off down the center, made a little cut to the left. He was wide open, but the pressure got to Newhall Caballero. And, of course, Penn's very happy to take the sack right there.
And, you know, Newhall Caballero, not a runner in the sense that Billy Ragone is, but he does have very happy feet, and the conditions kind of neutralizing that so far today. It'll be second and around 20 for Brown from its own 20-yard line. Out of the gun, Newhall Caballero drops under pressure, throws over the middle, hauled in outside the hashes near left at the 35 by Alex Tuncaraconi.
Again, that's a big mismatch there in terms of size. Anthony Marino trying to play that, having a little trouble with his footing. So was the receiver, the ball thrown behind him. But as you said, he made the adjustment.
Tuncaraconi really involved today. That's his sixth grab. That'll bring a third and roughly three for Brown from its own 35-yard line. The Bears are 4-for-10 on third downs. Three receivers slot far right. Out of the gun, Newhall Caballero takes the snap, drops back under pressure, trying to scramble far right. Eric Rass hits him as he throws complete. Caleb won the ball. Far right sideline of the Brown 48-yard line. Beg your pardon, make that Jimmy Saros snagging it for the Brown Bears at the 47. And a third down conversion for Brown, extending the life on this drive with 6:21 to go in the third quarter. Brown on top, 3-0.
Well, Daniel Ritt was in cover that time and just give that one to Newhall Caballero because on the scramble he dodges a lot of trouble and still managed to get the football off and pick up that first down.
First and 10, Brown on 47, two back off set near left, slot near left. Newhall Caballero steps back, floats one near left through the fingertips, just under the 50-yard line across the sideline to Alex Tuncaraconi, incomplete to bring up second down.
Yeah, Tuncaraconi went up high to get that, and I think he got a paw on it, but the ball, again, being as it is so wet, kind of just slipped through. It would have been a super catch if he'd been able to hold on.
Newhall Caballero, Hench, you wouldn't know by the conditions. He's 14 for 29, 140 yards. Not bad. And a pick. Second and 10, Brown from their own 47. Two backs, again, offset near left side. Two receivers, one either side as well. Newhall Caballero under center. Takes the snap, hands off to Eisen near left, shakes one tackle, midfield, getting the sideline, 45-40, lost his footing, and they got a shoulder from Sebastian Jaskowski to the Quaker 40-yard line, a gain of 13.
Well, you got to say, was that poor tackling in the open field, poor angles, or was that just the footing? Because they had a couple of shots at him to get him almost at the line of scrimmage, and Ivan showed a couple of good moves there. But the Penn defender's not able to adjust again, kind of losing their footing.
You can see the mud really starting to be kicked up along the hash marks in the center of the field. Brown, first and 10, Quaker 40. Newhall Caballero out of the gun. Three receivers, beg your pardon, four trips to the far right side of the field. Newhall Caballero shuffles back to midfield. Fires near left through the hands of Cody Talby, incomplete at the Penn 36-yard line.
Well, there it was again. That was a well-thrown ball and just went right through Tolby's hands.
And some Penn Quakers have shown terrific resolve, commendable, critical resolve throughout this year, but some point today, going to need something from that offense. 5:13 to go in the third quarter, down 3-0. The defense has played a very solid game so far. limiting Brown to just a field goal, an offense that averages 25 points a game. It'll be 2nd and 10, Brown, Quaker, 40, motion backfield, Sudfeld, Newhall, Caballero out of the gun, three receivers slot far right. Newhall, Caballero looks the far right sideline, and the pass is broken up. Terrific coverage there by Daniel Ritt at the Quaker 10 by the sideline, knocking it away from Jonah Fay. That's a nice ball thrown by Newhall, Caballero.
Yeah, I mean, that's a gutsy throw deep down the field. And I'm trying to see what that number is. I think Jimmy McGoldrick got snuck in there in that dime defense. I think that might have been him, actually. He's 15,
right.
And Daniel Ritt's number 13. And as you said, Brian, getting muddy out there. Hard enough to see some of these numbers on a good day, but they've made it even more difficult here this afternoon.
3rd and 10 Bears, which today 5 for 11 on third downs. 4 receivers, trips far right. The Quaker 40. Newhall Caballero, he's going to run on the design draw, shakes the tackle, 35 here left, outside the numbers, 30, trying to cut back inside, he's got a first down, the Quaker 28-yard line.
Well, you said he's got the good feet, which he hasn't been able to demonstrate a whole lot here today because of the conditions, but that time, as you said, Brian, it was a designed quarterback draw. He showed pretty good speed, pretty good ability to get to the outside, shake one tackle, and picked up the first down. So Brown has had a lot of success in their third down conversions compared to the Quakers 1-for-6.
And that was the case with the Yale Bulldogs last Saturday as well. 4:34 to go in the third quarter, 3-zip Bears. 1st and 10 from the Quaker 29. 3 receivers set, slot far right, motion backfield, Sudfeld. Newhall Caviar gives off to Sudfeld, loses his footing, and he trips himself up at the Quaker 27-yard line. Maybe 1 or 2 on the carry, probably around 1.5.
We just got an interesting tidbit, too, that Brown has gone 11 quarters without an offensive touchdown against Penn. Last time they scored a touchdown was in 2008.
Going back to 2009 when Penn won up here in overtime to really kickstart that championship run. A defensive score in the game. Newhall Caballero, 4 receivers, 2 either side, 2nd and 9, Quaker 28. Empty backfield, looks over his left shoulder, gets the call, motion to Sudfeld into the backfield for a little protection. High snap, hand off Sudfeld, near left through a gap, 20. Sudfeld 15, 10, 5, there's a flag. He's in the end zone. If the play stands, it'll be a touchdown for Sudfeld from around 28 yards out. There is a flag. Thrown back of the 25-yard line.
And
it is
a
catch ground.
Well-designed, well-executed play. Sudfeld actually comes in motion before the ball snapped. Takes the inside handoff from Newhall Caballero, going to his left side, picked up a couple of blocks, and then just turned on the speed and kind of ended up diving into the end zone. But it's coming back.
Matt Miller flagged for the holding call that sprung Sudfeld for 28 yards and a score. Not only is that touchdown wiped out, but that will move back the Brown Bears a very long ways to the Quaker 35-yard line. So it ends up netting a loss of roughly 7 yards to bring up 2nd and around 18 for Brown from the Quaker 35-yard line. Caballero out of the gun, 2 receivers tight, short near left. It's Fay wide far right. Newhall Caballero takes the snap, retreats, looks far right, now scrambles outside the hashes near left, 30, 25, and that's where he's spilled by Eric Rask after scrambling for about 10 yards, bringing up 3rd and roughly 5.
Well, you can see bodies just skating around out there as the conditions. It's hard to believe the conditions could get any worse, but they have, and this rain is beginning to look more and more like sleet. That time again, Fred Craig had a good positioning that time, but lost his footing, wasn't able to make the tackle.
Quakers looking to get off the field, unless it's 4-down territory. 6-for-12, Brown on 3rd downs. Newhall Caballero, empty backfield from the Quaker, 25, 3rd and 6, Newhall Caballero with the slot far right, motion Sudfeld backfield. He takes the handoff far right to the edge. Sudfeld spins for a first down into the red zone. The Quakers 17-yard line, a gain of 8.
Well, he gave it a good shot about 2 yards short of that first down distance. Eric Rask put a good hit on him, but as you said, Sudfeld just spun away from it, fell forward, and had just enough to pick up the first down.
Quakers defense has not broken yet today. But Brown trying to wear down the red and blue. First and 10 Bears, Quakers 17. Field spread with two receivers wide to the near left side. Too tight, far right. Newhall Caballero out of the gun. From the far right hash, Brown from right to left, leading by three. Hand off to Sudfeld. Again, he tries to bounce between the hash marks. He pinballs his way ahead for 2 yards to the 15.
Well, if it worked one way, they're going to try it the other way. That time, again, Sudfeld took the inside handoff on the short motion. But that time, the Penn defense rose to the occasion, stopped them for a gain of two.
A minute 45 to go in the third quarter. 3-0, Brown Bears. Ground-oriented game with the rain pitter-pattering down. Second and 8, Brown from the Quaker 15. Straight eye set. The tailback is eyes on. Two receivers wide near left. It's Jonah Fates and Cara Coney short right. Under center, Newhall Caballero hands off to Izon, trying to turn the corner near left. He'll get knocked out of bounds after a loss of around 1.5. David Twombly in pursuit out of the defensive backfield for Penn.
Also good work again by Brian DeSeca, who's getting a little more playing time today.
Quakers on their heels have forced Brown into a 3rd and 9. You probably know the stat by heart now. Very good for Brown on third down conversion, 7 of 13 on the day. It'll be 3rd and around 9 for Brown. Three receiver package, slot far right, Newhall Caballero out of the gun along the near left hash. Holds his hands, numbers high. Takes the snap, shuffles back to his own 25. Under pressure, and he's chewed up and then spit out by the Quaker defense and Jared Sholley with the sack.
Sholley looked like he was in a one-man rush that time because he came out of nowhere. One of the Brown offensive linemen just couldn't control him. And Newhall Caballero looking to his left. Never saw Jared Sholley coming from his right. So a big sack for the Quakers.
Sholley is team best, 4th sack of the season. Alex Narocha will come on to attempt a 42-yard field goal. Breeze picked up, blowing towards the near left side of the field. He made a 39-yarder earlier. With 8 seconds to go in the third quarter, now 6, 5, there's the snap, hold is down, the kick is up, end over end, it has the direction, and it's good! Counted with the distance as well. Alex Narocha, another big connection. That is 7th field goal made this season, and his time expires in the third quarter at Brown. It's the Bears increasing their lead to 6-0 on a very impressive, I mean, it's miserable condition. 42-yard field goal for Alex Narocha. 6-0 Brown through three quarters. Quakers need another fourth quarter comeback in an Ivy League game from Elegant Sports. Penn Football on 560 WFIL, the Penn Sports Network.
Do sports, live music, and awesome food bring you to Philadelphia? You should come hang out at Coins Pub in the Holiday Inn Historic District after the game or whatever brings you to Philadelphia. They have you covered. They're located just one block off Market Street at 4th and Orange. Call about their special UPenn rate or go online to make reservations today. Call 1-800-THE-BELL. That's 1-800-THE-BELL or visit UPenn's athletic website.
Oh, excusez-moi, I am the window, and I have created the most wonderful draft. It blows money right out of the wallet.
Your windows may be wasting energy. Learn why with the Pico Smart Home E-Audit and use our energy use calculators to find ways to save. Pico, we put our energy into lots of programs that save you money. Learn more at pico.com/smartideas or call 888-5-PICO-SAVE.
Kindred Hospitals understand that when people are discharged from a traditional hospital, they often need continued care in order to recover completely. That's where we come in. Whether a patient is critically ill and dependent upon a ventilator, or needs specialized rehabilitative therapies to walk again after a knee or hip replacement, Kindred specializes in recovery and wellness. Recovery isn't simply a goal, it's our mission. For more information, visit kindredhospitals.com.
It's Mark Daniels Live, afternoons at 4 on 560 WFIL.
Alex Narocha on the kickoff following the 42-yard field goal makes short to Cameron Jones, who actually his knee inadvertently hit the ground at the Quakers 26-yard line. So that is where Penn will take over with a second gone by in the fourth quarter. And the red and blue now from right to left trailing 6-0. Straight eye set, two receivers, one either side. Billy Ragone under center. Play action. Billy drops, throws, ball deflected and tipped off. Near left sideline by Andrew Marks. And the Brown Bears generate another turnover. The fourth of the game by the Quakers. Second interception. And now Brown could really be set up, leading 6-0 just outside the red zone at the 20-yard line.
Well, that was a tipped interception, but it was a poorly decided throw by Billy Ragone. He threw it right into the coverage for Brown, and one of the Brown defenders got a hand on it. If they had two hands, he would have intercepted it right there. But he tipped the ball up right over the Penn receiver into the second Brown defender, and that's where they end up with the ball in the Penn 20-yard.
Caballero. Caballero with two receivers near right, hands off to Sudfeld. Go to the near right side. Flag is thrown in. Sudfeld cut back between the numbers. He'll get no gain, stopping at the original line of scrimmage.
I think
it looks
got
like
a hold,
Brown
yeah.
Now. Might be another hold against the Brown Bears, which would mark for Brown yet another penalty in this game. The fifth for the Bears. And it is a holding call against Brown. So another interception by Penn. Four Quaker turnovers in the game. And this is starting to feel hence a little bit uneasy. But the Quakers still just down by six. The offense could somehow figure out a way to light a fuse.
Well, they've had their chances, and they just haven't been able to capitalize.
It'll be for Brown, first and 20 from the Quaker 30-yard line, straight eye set, slot to the far left side. Newhall Caballero hands off to Tolby. Tolby taking it right guard along the hash. He'll get 1 yard to the 29. Quakers on the day. 112 rushing yards. Really trying to rely on that aspect of the offense. Second in the Ivy League entering today, averaging 187.5 rushing yards per game. The Browns defense, hence, only allows 17 points per game. That is sixth in the nation. Football championship subdivision level competition. Three receiver package, slot far left, second and 19, Brown from the Quaker 29. Motion backfield, Saros, he gets the call. Saros to the right side, trying to follow some blocks. At most, he'll get a yard. Looks like he'll be brought down at the Quaker 28 to bring up third and long.
Craig up there in a hurry across the line of scrimmage, appealing to the official, saying he got blocked in the back, but he still did his job by forcing the play back to the inside. Brown with third and about 19.
Wind, rain, sub 40 degree temperatures. Just a your good old pleasant Saturday afternoon in Providence, Rhode Island. 13:05 to go. 6-0 Bears. Big third down. Third and 19. Quaker 29. Two receivers slotted far left, one short near right. Out of the gun, Newhall Caballero play fakes. Copeland chasing him far left on the scramble. Newhall Caballero is going to keep it and slide down the red and blue 27-yard line. That'll be a gain of around two for Brown. And up fourth and roughly 16.
Brandon Copeland on the chase there. He again had contained on the backside, was half a step slow in reacting to that, but then got into a good chase with Newhall Caballero, who again was having trouble with his footing. Brandon, of course, prevented him from turning the corner, and so Brown has a fourth and 17.
From the Quaker 27, Brown 0 for 2, third down today. Out of the gun, Newhall Caballero, four receiver set, trips near right. Newhall Caballero retreats, pumps, puts it up, lofts it far left to the end zone. The wind blows it away from Alex Tuncaraconi by the far front left pylon. And also Justin Williams one-on-one with Tuncaraconi there. And the Penn Quakers have
down by six, plenty of time, 12:01 left, will take over on downs at their own 28-yard line.
Well, we've seen some incredible fourth quarters this year. It would be nice to see another one. That time, again, as you said, Justin Williams playing the out-and-up move was in excellent position that time, forcing Tunko and Kara out of bounds.
Saturday, October 1st, Penn Quakers trailing the Dartmouth Big Green 20-16 with 4.5 minutes to go, end up winning it 22-20. Then 2 weekends ago at Columbia, Penn winning 27-20 in the fourth quarter. Billy Ragone, 1st and 10, passing the flat near left and being hauled backwards for the Penn Quakers after making the grab, Ryan Calvert. That'll be a loss of about a yard to the 26.
Well, that's a case where he had Joe Holder and Ryan Mitchell out there in that three-receiver set. Both the wide receivers went down and blocked defensive backs, but the inside linebackers for Brand reacted so quickly that, again, it turns out a minus-one play.
Penn Quakers, a total of 32 passing yards today. We're going out of the gun, three-receiver package, slot far right, 2nd 11, his own 26. Billy, we're going to the fake handoff outside the hashes near left to the 28-yard line, a gain of roughly two, to bring up 3rd and 9.
Well, you can just see that Brown defense beginning to play with more and more confidence. They've denied Penn so many of those third down opportunities here. Quakers faced with another one at 3rd and 9. The ball again at their own 28-yard line, so they got a long way to go here.
A slot fest at Muddy Brown with all the rain that you could pack into one place today. Penn 1-for-6, third down efficiency today. Out of the gun, Ragone, 3rd and 9, his own 28. Retreats on a deep drop. Here comes the pressure. Floats it over the middle, and it's knocked down to the 30-yard line and nearly picked off by the Brown Bears, hovering in there for Bruno Matthew O'Donnell, inside linebacker.
Well, O'Donnell probably should have had that interception. Again, they tried to run a little screen off to the right side to Brandon Colavito, and the ball just sailed or slipped out of Billy's hand. Again, that was very close to being another pick.
Scott Lapano, the whitest jersey out there today, probably, understandably, from his own 14, getting set to punt it away, moving to his right, and that'll be short. Might not even get to the negative side of the field. It dies at the Quaker 45, and that is where, for Brown, Anthony Franciosi watches it roll to a thudding stop, and the Penn defense bench will be under duress yet again with 10:24 to go. Brown up 6-0.
Well, I think under duress is the right call, Brian. That's what's been happening most of the afternoon. That time again, trying the rugby punt, something Scott just never got his foot really into the football, and it kind of sliced off to the right side. And when it hit, it was like a golf shot that plugged.
Brown Bears seeking a fourth straight win. Plus side of the field, 1st and 10, Quaker 45. Eyes set, two receiver package split. Handoff. Ties on near right, and he's going to be knocked back for a big loss, courtesy of Steve Lias out of the Steel City, as Izon goes backwards by about 5 yards to the red and white midfield stripe.
Good read by Steve Lias, the Penn linebacker. Again, seeing the play come to his left, watched to see where it was going to develop, then took the opening and made the tackle in the backfield.
Quakers, Hench, on either side of the field, any phase really needing a big play, because the patient waited out type mode, that has not worked so far. But the defense's task, keep Brown's point total of 6. It'll be 2nd and 15 for Brown from midfield. Newhall Caballero, 10 seconds play clock, motioning backs in the offensive backfield. Now out of the gun, two receiver package, one either side. High snap into the backfield of the 35. Newhall Caballero has to slide on it. And that is where Brown will have to retreat to. 15-yard loss on a high snap that sailed way over the silver helmet of Kyle Newhall Caballero.
Interestingly enough there, he started up under center, and he's the one who made the audible change to go to the shotgun. You wonder whether the center had second thoughts about that. But that ball went sailing way over his head, and Newhall Caballero very wisely just kind of slid down and smothered the ball so that he didn't have a turnover there.
That'll bring up third and around 25 for, make it 30 for the Brown Bears. Newhall Caballero wipes off his hands with a towel. Four receiver packs into the high snap over his helmet, and Newhall Caballero has to slide again to smother it at his own 21-yard line. So how about that, Hench, for the Brown Bears taking over at the Quaker 45-yard line, and now we'll have to punt it away with the snap originating from the 21-yard line.
Brown center down there talking with the coaches, trying to explain what happened. What happened is the ball went sailing way over his head twice.
Nate Lovett averages 42 yards per punt. He's under his own 10 at the 8. He moves to the near right side, sends one up in the air. It's coming down to the Quakers at the 45. Matt Hampster is tripped up and somersaulted at his own 45, but his motion actually twirls him forward to the 49-yard line. And if we're a little bit late on giving you player identification, we apologize, but the mud is just wiped across the back of the Quakers' jerseys, so fours at times look like threes or other things. So with 8:02 to go in the fourth quarter, Panhench, with one of the more favorable field position origination points that the program has had today. The offense has been silenced thus far, shut out, trailing 6-0 with 8:02 to go. The crowd with umbrellas open, ponchos and all, getting loud, being enticed by members of the Bears defense, which has one shutout this year against Princeton 2 weeks ago. We're going out of the gun. Two receivers, one either side. Billy drops, steps up, throws near left, wobbles one incomplete to the Bears' 45-yard line. Maybe that one was deflected, Hench, or maybe Billy had contact made with his left wrist?
I don't know. As you said, it was ugly. And I think he was looking for Ryan Mitchell, or Calvert. I can't tell. It's number three and number five. It's Calvert deep down the middle. And yet the pass looked like it was being thrown as an underneath pattern. So I don't know what it was, Brian.
This is just the 20th minute that Penn has possessed the pigskin. It'll be second and 10, Penn. Own 49, lone tailback, Colavita, receiver right left. Colavita, right side, slips a tackle, midfield, 45-40, Colavita, along the sideline, 35, run out of bounds. After an extremely positive gain for the Penn Quakers, to the Bears' 36-yard line, and a first down for the red and blue.
No flags that time, too, and great work by Brandon just to keep his balance. He got popped a couple of times going from left to right. Just gave a little bit laterally to stay on his feet, eventually got to the sideline and broke contain and took it down the sideline, as you said, for one of Penn's very positive rushing gains here in the second half.
The hash line so muddied in between the hashes as well. Two receivers slotted near left, eyes set, first and 10, Penn, Bears 36. Ragone, play action, drops. Now he's going to try and run, won't be able to escape. That'll be a loss of about 2 yards for the Penn Quakers. Polacek in there for the Bears.
Well, he was looking to go deep again. That time, Luke Naraki going down the right side, and Ryan Calvert, or Ryan Mitchell, whichever number that is, Ryan Calvert going down the left side. That was a passing play all the way, but the pressure got to Billy, and he decided he had to give up on it and take it up the middle, but there was really nowhere to run, so he lost about four.
6:45 to go in regulation at Brown Stadium. The Penn Quakers' 18-game Ivy League win streak in the balance, trailing 6-0. Second and 13, Penn from Brown's 39. Eyes set, Calvert lone receiver near right. Colavita right side. He'll be thrown for a loss. Clayton McGrath, the senior and a beast, with pursuit. And Penn now at the Bears' 42-yard line.
Well, it's the same play that Brandon had success with on that long run that he just had two plays ago. And that's what happens here. Sometimes you go back to it, you think you've got everything figured out. But that time, Brown was all over it.
Penn 1-for-7 on third downs today. It's going to be third and 16 from the Brown Bears' 42-yard line. Red and blue from right to left, down 6 with 5:53 to go. We're going out of the gun, flanked either side. Three receiver package slot near left, movement early. And the Penn Quakers, victims of a false start. And that'll be 5 more yards tacked on to make it 3rd and 21. Ooh, and that negates everything that
Penn had gained offensively on this drive for the most part, as now the Quakers have moved from the original start of this series only about 4 yards. Ball will be placed on the Bears 47.
Yeah, they were down to the 31-yard line. Excuse me, the 36-yard line.
Quakers a missed field goal try earlier in the game. Two Narocha field goals for Brown. Third and 21, Quakers, and the Brown 47. Fumble on the snap. Ragone is now going to run it far right out of the gun, and he'll be tackled far right at midfield. Another loss for Penn of 3 yards. And this will bring up a fourth and mighty long. So Scott Lapano will come on to try and really tip the field position in favor of the Quakers and pin the Brears back. It'll be Anthony Forsini for the Brown Bears to punt return at his own 17 far right. Scott Lapano standing at his own 35. Clock moving to 4 minutes and 53 seconds left in the fourth. Good snap. Fielded cleanly, and Lapano steps into one. Fair catch called for at the 20. Slipping is Forsini, and now the Quakers with Kispert down the football at the Bears' 3-yard line. Another break in favor of Penn. They've had a few today. Yep.
They've had their share and have not really been able to capitalize on it. As you see that big zero under Penn's name up on the scoreboard. Six for Brown, none for Penn. But that time, as you said, the deep man for Brown lost his footing, and Penn luckily downed the ball. Looked like Kispert himself was going to slide into the end zone with that pigskin, but he didn't. So this is getting to be pretty much the last shot right here, Brian.
And now for Brown, leading just 6-0 with 4:41 to go, you've got to play it safe here, hence you would think, because the backfield's lined up, offset to the near left side in its own end zone. First and 10, Brown, its own 3. Moving along the line early, flag thrown in. Here's Tomey through a gap near right to the 15. Make it the Bears' 16-yard line, a gain of around 13 to give Brown some breathing room. This might be defensive offsides on the Quakers.
I think it was. Somebody jumped, and of course they're not going to take that penalty because they picked up first down yardage. Or at least it appears they picked up first down yardage.
It is pouring at Brown Stadium. Mike Roche looking to give us the call on the infraction.
Offside, number 93, the defense.
Jared Solly. Offsides. That'll be a 5-yard penalty that Brown accepts to make it first and 5. Ball will be spotted at the 9-yard line.
Wow.
Clock moving. That's interesting.
Wow.
4.5.
Oh. You know, they want the extra down, I guess, to run time off the clock.
Yeah. Straight eye set, two receivers, one either side. Newhall Caballero and the Bears from left to right. He's under center, hands off to Tolby, who's torpedoed by Daniel Ripp after a gain of 1. Both sides, hence with all 3 second half timeouts. The time running out for the red and blue, winners of 18 in a row in the Ivy League. Phil Estes has been a big time foil hench for Al Bagnoli. He is 7-6 versus his Quaker counterpart. Two coaches, a ton of respect for one another. Close friends. Officials timeout on the field with 3:51 to play in the fourth and final quarter from Brown. Penn also hence with another streak of notes. Road winning streak of 12 in the Ivy League. It'll be 2nd and 4 for Brown. Own 10, handoff to Tolby, spinning over the far left hash mark for a first down to the 14-yard line. Penn has not lost an Ivy League road game since the 10th of November 2007, 23-7 at Harvard. Clock moving at 3:25. Two Alex Narocha field goals, one that pinged inside the uprights off the right upright, and then another 42-yarder, impressively, amidst the wind and rain. First and 10, Brown, own 14, eye set to receiver split. Under center, Newhall Caballero. Play clock at 2, hand off to Tolby, who's down and tripped up for a loss. Jared Salian. And now it's 2 minutes and 51 seconds to play in the fourth and final quarter. The Penn Quakers and Al Dagnoli using their first of three second-half timeouts.
Well, they were calling for the timeout on the sideline pretty vociferously and getting nobody, no officials' attention. So Penn lost probably half a dozen seconds there before they stopped the clock. And that could be telling us that there are only 2 minutes and 51 seconds left.
Hence, the Penn Quakers enter today 3-0 in the Ivy League. The Brown Bears 2-1. For Brown, it was full all-out survival mode, playing at home against the Quaker club that last Saturday in the 27-point fourth-quarter come-from-behind win over Yale established a new second-longest conference-winning streak in the Ivy League. And now Penn, 2 minutes, 51 seconds away from potentially looking at its first Ivy League loss since 2008. Brown Bears lost a game to Harvard 24-7. It was a lot closer, the final score suggested, and trying to get itself really right back in the cusp of championship position. Second and around 11 for Brown, own 13. I sent handoff Tolby, far left, Eric Rask is able to slow, and Steve Wise finishes the job as Tolby gets the Quakers 16 to bring up third down, but Al Dagnoli using timeout number two.
Well, that
2:45 to go.
That time they did get the timeout called, and it took 6 seconds off the clock for the play, and has one left. So should they stop them here, they're going to get the football back. Not have a whole lot of time to do anything with it. And you know the difference between the end of this one and the one at Dartmouth and the one at really Columbia and the great fourth quarter last week is that the Penn was able to throw the football down the field. And they have not done any of that here today. And under these conditions, the likelihood of their being able to do that late in the game are probably pretty slim.
Billy Ragone, 6-for-14, 32 yards and 2 picks. And now, these conditions, aside from Brown's opening drive, it is pouring rain throughout, wind swirling, gray and overcast. Tough to pin this one on Billy Ragone, hence 6-for-14, but you look at Kyle Newhall-Caviero, he's 14 for 32, yeah, but 140 yards. That at least forces the opposing defense to play honest, where right now Brown, when it's been on the field defensively, has a pretty good sense that the Quakers are trying to keep it on the ground. So here's 3rd and 7 upcoming for Brown. It's own 17, 7 for 16 on third downs today. Receiver split, 2 in the package, I set. Newhall-Caviero, play clock at 5 under center with 2:45 to go out of the timeout. Handoff Tolby. Sidesteps a tackle, and then he's dropped down by Daniel Ritt after gaining a yard with 2 minutes 40 seconds to go. Penn has one timeout remaining, and Al Dagnoli uses it here with 2:40 to go, and Brown leading 6-0.
Daniel Ritt right up at the line of scrimmage making that tackle. So it easily denied the third down conversion. Now you've got an interesting situation here. Do you go to block the punt, muddy conditions? The ball, again, is on the 18-yard line, 17-yard line. Or do you let them punt it away, stop the clock on the exchange, and see what you can come up with?
Nate Lovett for the Brown Bears will handle the punting out of East Providence, Rhode Island, a senior, second in the league in punting. Honorable mention, All Ivy last year. Nat Hampshire between the hashes, jersey soiled with grass stains and dirt, at his own 48. Lovett standing at his own 4. 2:40 to go following that third and final Quaker timeout. Silence falling over Brown Stadium. Clean snap. The punt from Lovett is a hanger. Hampshire moves back, bounces at the Quaker 49, then dies in the moist grass at the Penn 47-yard line. Hitch Murray, 2 minutes, 29 seconds, 53 yards is what Penn needs. Trailing by 6. And amazingly, hence, the Quakers could go a third straight game in this rivalry without giving up an offensive touchdown.
Amazing. They did give up one that was called back because of the penalty. And how many times a season can you say, well, this is gut check time? Because What's worse than gut check time? 2 minutes and 29 seconds under abominable field conditions. The Quakers have to go just over 50 yards, and they need a touchdown.
They have been there before. In fact, three times in three prior Ivy League games. First and 10, Penn. Five receivers, zone 47. Trips far right. Billy pumps, lobs it far right, looking for Holder. It's picked off. Picked off at the Bears' 30-yard line, and Brown is going to end the Quakers' second-longest Ivy League winning streak of all time at 18. Mel Farr, the grandson of a former NFL Rookie of the Year, with the pick, and with 2 minutes 22 seconds to go, barring some favorable development in Penn's direction, Brown will end up winning this game, leading 6-0.
Well, I'm not sure what happened that time, because coming from his right side, two Brown defenders came in unblocked. Billy was trying to throw the ball down the right side to Joe Holder, as you said. He clearly had to have his vision obscured and obstructed by those guys. And anyway, ill-advised toss. Maybe he would have been better off to throw it away, but doesn't make any difference. He did throw it where he did, and it's another interception, and Brown can probably just run out the clock.
Penn out of timeouts. First and 10, Brown on 27. Handoff going to Tolby between the hashes up to the 28-yard line. Clock moving towards 2 minutes, 10 seconds. Mel Farr, first interception of the season, and Henson, kind of an ironic correlation. The Brown Bears' lone Ivy League loss this year in the rain at Harvard committed 5 turnovers. The Penn Quakers in the rain at Brown, 5 turnovers as well. A minute 50 to go, 6-0 Brown. Play clock heading towards 10 seconds. Brown has 2nd and 10 from its own 29. No gain on the play. 100 seconds to go. Slot far left. Eye set. Newhall Caballero hands off to Tolby, no gain. Maybe he'll push it to the 30 for a yard. 90 seconds to go. Quakers out of timeouts. Play clock at 35. Hence, at the site where one of the more memorable Ivy League victories for the Penn Quakers over the course of this 18-game winning streak occurred 2 years ago in 2009 in overtime, helping propel Penn to the first of two back-to-back Ivy League championships. It'll also serve as the venue for the ending of this historic streak for the Penn Quakers. A minute to go, 6-0. Brown in control. 3rd and 9, its own 30-yard line. Eye set, receiver split. Newhall Caballero takes the snap. Hands off to Tolby, squeezes through after the 32. 44 seconds to play and 40 seconds on the play clock. About a 2-second differential with 4th down upcoming. Kyle Newhall Caballero, senior captain for the Brown Bears, sideline for most of last year, has now vaulted the Brown Bears really back into contention for an Ivy League championship. Brown will need some help. Harvard will head into their game tonight at 6 against the Dartmouth Big Green as the last unbeaten team in conference play. 6-0, the Brown Bears in control, 10 seconds left. And the Penn Quakers, many memorable moments over the course of a memorable run, but that, as Brown takes a timeout with 2 seconds to go in front, 6-0, will be just about it for the Penn Quakers.
Well, it turns out they just let the clock run down. So when they snap the ball, all it's got to do is tick off 2 seconds. They could care less about the 5-yard penalty. All he's got to do is take a step back and get down to one knee, and this one's over.
Four seconds on the game clock. 2 field goals for Brown in the second quarter, a 39-yarder from Alex Nocha, 42-yarder in the third quarter. That will be the decisive difference. Brown Bears beginning to jump around on the near sideline. Huddle is broken. 3 seconds now showing on the game clock. Deep man safe is Jordan Evans. Newhall Caballero under center with 3 seconds to go. 6-0 Brown. Newhall Caballero runs all the way back. Time expires on the clock as Newhall Caballero takes the lead at his own 6. And amidst the muck, the mud and the mire, the Penn Quakers have the second longest winning streak in Ivy League history at 18 games, come to an end in a 6-0 shutout loss.
Well, there's a flag thrown after the game. I don't think I've ever seen that, but apparently Steve Lias in his frustration must have done something that was unsportsmanlike. Anyway, it doesn't make any difference. As you said, Penn had its chances. You got to give a lot of credit to this Brand football team. They were playing under the same conditions, and somehow when they got their opportunities, they ended up with 2 field goals and 6 points in some games. Doesn't sound like a whole lot, Brian, but today it was huge.
Yeah, it made it feel like it could have been a 30-0 lead or something like that instead of a 6-0 lead. Well, the Penn Quakers muster 151 yards in total offense, 193 for the Brown Bears. Passing attack is not there for the Penn Quakers today. Brown got something out of Kyle Newhall and Caballero, and now the Red and Blue have a 4-game winning streak overall come to an end. Penn is 4-3 overall in the year, 3-1 in the Ivy League, and now slip into a tie for second place with the Brown Bears, which improved to 6-1, winners of 4 in a row, and now 3-1 in the Ivy League. So it's the Harvard Crimson now, the team to beat in the Ancient Eight, going into a 6 o'clock matchup with the Dartmouth Big Green, the last unblemished club out of the eight in the Ivy League.
Well, I said a couple of weeks ago, Brian, that I didn't think, or I was pretty sure that no team was going to go undefeated in the Ivy League this year, and if that's to be the case, Penn, of course, has to win another couple of games here, but it may come down to that showdown at Harvard, because for Penn to get a piece of the title now, they've got to beat Harvard.
But that is the silver lining of the situation on a gloomy, dreary day, is that the Quakers still do have Harvard. So while Penn, right now, with a loss in the league and Harvard none, the Red and Blue will have a say in it, but we've got a big rivalry game, homecoming next Saturday at Franklin Field against the Princeton Tigers. The Brown Bears, following a post-game huddle, making a lot of noise running into the locker room, realizing that while their hopes not squarely determined and certain in the Ivy League championship push for 2011, there is a rekindled hope for the Brown Bears. Meanwhile, the Penn Quakers heading back to Philadelphia following a shutout loss by a final score of 6-0. The Penn Quakers are now 4-3 on the year, 3-1 in the Ivy League. The Brown Bears improved to 6-1, 3-1 in the conference standings. Tied for second now with Penn. Red and Blue Rewind, Comcast Sportsnet postgame show. On the other side, from Elegant Sports, Penn Football on 560 WFIL, the Penn Sports Network.
Put yourself in this situation. You're in the company break room, seated near the coffee maker. Suddenly, the coffee pot shatters, sending shards of glass and steaming hot liquid in your direction. You suffer cuts and burns, and in disgust, the boss throws the broken coffee pot into the trash, and along with it, your chance to recover damages. You probably didn't realize at the time that without the defective coffee pot, you can't make a case. But who would expect you to be calm and collected in this situation? If you suffered a fall, purchased a defective product, been involved in an auto accident, you need to know your rights under the law. Call 1-800-RADMORE. When you're in doubt, don't sign a release. Jim Radmore will help you determine whether you need to pursue legal action. And if you do, you'll pay only if the claim is successful. Be a victor over your circumstances. Call attorney Jim Radmore, and regardless of your situation, he'd like to offer you an auto accident reference guide absolutely free. It'll tell you what steps to take in the event of an auto emergency. Call 1-800-RADMORE. That's 1-800-RADMORE.
Coke Zero tastes like Coke, but what good is telling you that on the radio? If you're in your car and you hear me say it, you have to take my word for it. And that makes you one of those guys who believes everything he hears on the radio. Or you cannot believe me, but that makes you a cynic. So you're either the guy who believes everything on the radio, or a super suspicious guy who doesn't believe anything. But there is a third option. You could try one. Then you can taste and see if what you heard on the radio is true. Unless you want to be one of those other guys. Coca-Cola Zero. Real Coke taste and zero calories.
Quaker fans, looking for the best meal deal in Philadelphia? Come on down to Abner's Cheesesteak in University City, a Penn tradition. Abner's is located at 3818 Chestnut Street, and it's home to the best cheesesteaks in Philadelphia. The next time you're visiting historic Franklin Field, the Palestra, or anywhere else on the Penn campus, be sure and stop by Abner's Cheesesteaks of University City. Abner's Cheesesteaks of University City, a proud supporter of Penn Athletics.
What would you give to play the way you used to? With your team? Your racket? Your grandkids? What would you do to improve your backhand? Your jump shot? Your quality of life? The answer is Penn Orthopedics. Ranked best in the region by U.S. News & World Report, Penn Orthopedics has been revolutionizing the treatment of joint, spine, and sports injuries with new techniques. Like joint surgery that uses state-of-the-art implants and tiny incisions, plasma therapy that heals injuries using your body's own cells, and an innovative sports medicine program that uses a team approach. Penn Medicine has more ways to help you recover faster. When faced with injury and pain, when you need to get back on your feet, when you're ready to start feeling better, life is worth Penn Orthopedics. To learn more, visit PennMedicine.org or call 800-789-PENN.
Coke Zero tastes like Coke, but what good is telling you that on the radio? If you're in your car and you hear me say it, you have to take my word for it. And that makes you one of those guys who believes everything he hears on the radio. Or you cannot believe me, but that makes you a cynic. So you're either the guy who believes everything on the radio or a super suspicious guy who doesn't believe anything. But there is a third option. You could try one. Then you can taste and see if what you heard on the radio is true. Unless you want to be one of those other guys. Coca-Cola Zero. Real Coke taste and zero calories.
Quaker fans, looking for the best meal deal in Philadelphia? Come on down to Abner's Cheesesteak in University City, a Penn tradition. Abner's is located at 3818 Chestnut Street, and it's home to the best cheesesteaks in Philadelphia. The next time you're visiting historic Franklin Field, the Palestra, or anywhere else on the Penn campus, be sure and stop by Abner's Cheesesteaks of University City. Abner's Cheesesteaks of University City, a proud supporter of Penn Athletics.
Online and on demand at WFIL.com. This is AM 560, WFIL, Philadelphia. Change your station, change your life.
Penn Quakers suffer a shutout loss on a soggy, sloppy Saturday afternoon in Providence, Rhode Island at Brown Stadium. And the second longest winning streak in Ivy League history is now over, following a 6-0 setback to the Brown Bears. And also over, Penn's perch atop the Ivy League standings, that distinction belongs to the Harvard Crimson, entering their night game at 3-0. Now the Quakers and the Brown Bears are tied for second place in the conference standings, and they could be joined by a third team. I'll tell you about that now here on the Comcast Sportsnet out-of-town scoreboard, brought to you by Comcast Sportsnet, noted as Philly college football better than our pals at Comcast Sportsnet. Beginning the out-of-town scoreboard look in New York City, where the field had to be plowed because of snow cover. The Yale Bulldogs trying to hang on against the Columbia Lions, the score is 16-12 with 4:04 to go in the fourth quarter. Now, Columbia scored all dozen of its points in the fourth quarter, and Columbia 0-6 on the year, 0-3 in the Ivy League, upset-minded against the 3-3, 2-1 Yale Bulldogs. So Yale, with Harvard still remaining on its schedule, can also play the same card as Penn currently, that a matchup with the first-place team still left, so hopes are still very much alive. But Yale trying to hang on, 16-12 is the score, with 4:04 to go in the fourth quarter. 2 minutes, 45 seconds left in the third quarter. The Cornell Big Red trying to position themselves for their first Ivy League victory of the 2011 season. Cornell 2-4, 0-3 in the league, and Cornell leading the 1-5, 1-2 Princeton Tigers by a score of 17-7 with 2:46 to play in the third quarter. 6 o'clock tonight, what has become just a hugely important game for the Harvard Crimson to really try and seize control of the 2011 Ivy League race. Harvard 5-1, 3-0, first place in the league, all to itself. Hosting the Dartmouth Big Green, 2-4, 1-2 in the league. Program with a lot of senior pride. We'll see, Hans Murray, what
Dartmouth might be able to muster up tonight, looking to pull off an upset-minded result against the Harvard Crimson.
Well, I hope they have snowshoes up there, because if they're experiencing what we did here in Providence, it's going to be a long night for people trying to get traction on the field.
Penn Quakers sent Murray shutouts for the first time since the 15th of November, 1997, which was a 33-0 loss at Harvard. Today, a 6-0 loss on the road at Brown Stadium versus Bruno and the Bears. Brown has now won 5 of the last 7 meetings against the Penn Quakers. We'll discuss this game a little bit further, review the Kindred Healthcare Leaders Board on the other side, and also look ahead to the Penn Quakers' forthcoming opponent, arch nemesis, the orange and black Princeton Tigers. It's the Independence Blue Cross Red and Blue Rewind postgame show from Elgin Sports on 560 WFIL, the Penn Sports Network.
This champagne's delicious.
Only the best for my wife on her anniversary, right?
Oh, honey, this afternoon I send you, me, and the kids up for unlimited mobile to mobile minutes.
We do not have piles of money lying around just waiting to be spent on extravagant purchases like that.
Waiter, may I see the cork, please?
What are you doing?
Trying to put the cork back in this bottle of champagne we can no longer afford so our kids can still go to college one day?
They were free. I got them when I signed us up for unlimited messaging.
Drink up, honey. It's French.
When you buy an unlimited messaging plan, families can call any U.S. mobile phone free. More value from AT&T.
AT&T has exclusive Windows phones like the Samsung Focus with a brilliant 4-inch touchscreen. And now for a limited time, you can get yours for free. Visit store for details. AT&T. Rethink possible.
Messaging unlimited plan required. Available on select plans. Domestic calling. The U.S. mobile numbers only. Other restrictions and conditions apply. New 2-year wireless service agreement with minimum $15 monthly data plan required. Phone subject to availability. Windows phone is a trademark of the Microsoft Group of Companies. See att.com/anymobile or store for complete details.
Hi, I'm an air vent. I'm part of the old heating and cooling system that's gobbling energy in your home. The harder I work, the more you pay. It's delicious irony. Just fall.
Replace your old heating and cooling system with an energy-efficient one, and PECO will pay you up to $400. Plus, you could save 20% a year.
Little help here.
PECO. We put our energy into lots of programs that save you money. For eligibility and saving details, visit PECO.com/smartideas or call 888-5-PECO-SAVE.
Hello, I'm John Lawler, president of Keystone Fire Protection Company. I've talked a lot about the inspection and emergency services that Keystone offers, but did you know that Keystone also designs and installs new fire systems? Does your building need a fire alarm or a sprinkler system? Call Keystone. Does your restaurant or cafeteria need an ANSEL system to protect the appliances and ductwork? Call Keystone. Is your current fire system monitored by a UL-listed central station? No? Call Keystone. Keystone also sells and installs the most sophisticated waterless clean extinguishing systems like FM200, Energen, and Novec 1230 for high-value assets like computer rooms, bank vaults, and sensitive electronics. So remember, whether you need a single fire extinguisher or a building-wide fire system, call Keystone Fire Protection, where we make it our business to protect your business. Learn more at KeystoneFire.com.
Sprint Turf wishes good luck to the Quaker football team and is a proud partner to Penn Athletics. Sprint Turf has been the University of Pennsylvania's choice in synthetic turf since 2004, when the surface was installed on the beautiful and historic Franklin Field. If your school is considering a turf field, or perhaps you have a landscaping project at home, make Sprint Turf your first call at 877-686-TURF. Visit them online at SprintTurf.com. Catch Manna in the morning, weekdays on AM 560 WFIO.
Moving along on the Red and Blue Rewind postgame show presented by Independence Blue Cross, the Penn Quakers set out in the game for the first time since 1997, blank today at Brown Stadium by a final score of 6-0. Along with our studio coordinator, Walt Cooper, my name is Brian Seltzer. My partner is Hench Murray. Time now, Hench, to run down the Kindred Healthcare Leaders Board, brought to you by Kindred Healthcare. And the score in and of itself, 6-0, would suggest that there was not a whole lot of offense in the game, and there was not, but particularly, hence, on the Penn side,
Unfortunately, not a whole lot of leading taking place today. Just really struggled to get any semblance of a passing game going amidst the rain and the wind. And the rushing game put up some nice numbers, but nothing big really broken there and contained by Brown.
Well, I think some big numbers were Billy Ragone was 6 for 15, and he threw 3 interceptions. That's a bad day no matter how you slice it. And a couple of those, one was a pure tip, one was a ball that got bounced off Joe Holder's shoulder pads, and so it wasn't quite as bad as it looked. But really, Brown dominated the football game given the awful conditions that we talked about. They ran 73 plays to Penn's 46, and time of possession was in Brown's favor by 13 minutes. I mean, a couple of the key stats here, you know, Penn was 1 for 8 in third down conversions, Brown 7 for 18. So when you're controlling the ball, even with this game with so many turnovers and so many penalties, Penn had its opportunities at least twice. They missed one field goal and certainly were in range for a second field goal until they got bit by the penalty bug themselves. And, you know, we're playing photoelectric football here, but that's looking at a 6-6 score. But I wouldn't want to take anything away from the Brown Bears today. They played a tough, hard-nosed football game, and when they can control time of possession and the number of plays the way they did, they probably deserve to come out on the 6-0 end of the victory.
It was the second shutout pitch this season by the Brown Bears, which 2 weeks ago blanked the Princeton Tigers 34-0. Two big numbers from this game as well. The number five, number of turnovers committed by the Penn Quakers. Penn fumbled the ball 5 times, lost it just twice, so very fortunate in that respect. The 3 Billy Ragone interceptions, as Hench mentioned. And also the number 2, which was the number of field goals that Alex Narocha out of East Providence connected on today for the Brown Bears, a 39-yarder in the second quarter, 42-yarder in the third quarter, the difference in the Brown Bears 6-2 win over Penn. Brandon Colavita, 14 carries, 69 yards. Ryan Calvert, 3 grabs for 18 yards. Ryan Mitchell, 2 for 12. It was Cody Talby on the ground, 18 carries, 49 yards. And Alex Tancara-Coney, receiving-wise for Brown, 5 grabs, 56 yards. Kyle Newhall-Caballero, effective enough, 14 for 32, first pick since the Harvard game, but 140 yards through the air along of 16. 36 minutes, 33 seconds, that is how long Brown controlled the football today. The Quakers, 23 minutes, 26 seconds, first time this year that Penn, entering the day leading the Ivy League in time of possession, was outdone in that respect by an opponent. So that is your Kindred Healthcare Leaders Board. It's brought to you by the Kindred Hospital System, providing high-intensity medical care for patients needing continued care. Learn more at kindredhospitals.com. On the next and final segment of the Red and Blue Rewind, Independence Blue Cross post-game show, hand out some post-game recognitions and awards, and then look ahead to a big homecoming matchup for the Penn Quakers against those Princeton Tigers next Saturday afternoon at Franklin Field. From Elegant Sports, Penn Football on 560 WFIL, it is the Penn Sports Network.
Penn fans, for the most up-to-date information on Penn Athletics, visit the new and improved official website of Penn Athletics at PennAthletics.com. Create your Quaker E-Pass today for a one-stop shop for merchandise, streaming, tickets, auctions, and more. You can watch exclusive videos, subscribe to podcasts, and also get the latest details on your favorite teams with blogs from Penn Athletics coaches and players. Go online today to the brand new PennAthletics.com.
Every night at 6, get total high-definition coverage of your favorite Philly sports teams only on Sports Night. From breaking CSN alerts and national sports headlines to inside access and stories focused on Philly's teams. Get the most in-depth reports in town every night at 6 on Sports Night. Comcast SportsNet gives Philly fans all the news they need to know from the leading sports department in Philly. Watch Sports Night every night at 6 only on Comcast SportsNet. We live Philly sports.
As a smart consumer, you want to be rewarded for your purchases.
That's why we're pleased to offer you the Penn Platinum Plus Visa Card with World Points Rewards, brought to you by Bank of America. This card offers an outstanding combination of services and benefits while giving you the flexibility to choose the rewards you really want. With every account opened and every purchase made, Bank of America helps support Penn student and alumni programming. Learn more or apply today at alumni.upenn.edu.
Most ground in football is gained in the trenches. Offense pushes through play after play, setbacks and advances, but always forward progress to the end zone. At Kindred Hospitals, the end zone is recovery. As one of Fortune Magazine's most admired companies 3 years running, we offer high-intensity medical care to patients who need continued care after a short-term hospital stay. Through the trenches, yard by yard, we push forward toward recovery. Kindred Hospitals, continue the care. For more information, visit kindredhospitals.com.
It's Mark Daniels Live, afternoons at 4 on 560 WFIL.
Penn Quakers have the second longest winning streak in the history of the Ivy League come to an end this afternoon, getting shut out for the first time since 1997, blanked by a final of 6-0, miserable. That doesn't even begin to describe a day at Brown Stadium, gray outside, no snow up here like in Philadelphia and the surrounding area, but so much rain, probably would have been more favorable, hence, if there had been snow. up here than all the rain, but the Penn Quakers shut out, losing by a final of 6-0. So now the Ivy League landscape looks like this. Harvard playing the last game in the league today for week number 7, a night game at home versus Dartmouth. So Harvard at 5-1, 3-0 in the league in first place. Penn now tied for second with Brown and potentially Yale, depending on how that game shakes out at Columbia. Hence, when you the team that you follow gets denied a point offensively and ends up losing the game. Tough day all in all. This is really where you earn that handsome stipend from our friends in Elegant Sports Marketing. It is time to, well, we'll first do the, this won't be all that hard, the Abner's Cheesesteaks of University City hit of the game for today.
Well, we got to give that one to Jared Sholley on one of those great pass rushes where he sacked Newhall Caballera. You know, he just defeated the block single-handedly, put good pressure on there, and just laid the wood to Newhall Caballero. So it's Jared Sholley for the hit of the game.
Jared Sholley really has gotten better week by week, and he came up with his team-best fourth sack today, and that was the Abner's Cheesesteaks hit of the game, brought to you by the Institution on the corner of 38th and Chestnut Streets, right there on the northwest side, Abner's Cheesesteaks of University City. And that brings us hence to the Pico player of the game. And given that the red and blue shut out today 6-0, we might have to invoke the infrequently utilized card and certainly undesired card of giving that appointment to the opponents.
Well, I thought about that. And because this afternoon was depressing enough as it was, I'm not going to give it to the opponent.
Good.
I'm going to give it to Eric Rask, who in typical Eric Rask fashion was all over the field today. He had the one interception for Penn. And, you know, when you look at the game, as disappointing as it might be, the defense still only gave up a total of 6 points, 2 field goals, and Brown has yet to score a touchdown in the last 3 years in any quarter against Penn. So
that is amazing.
It was sloppy, but the defense, you know, if you hold your opponent to 6 points, that is usually good enough to win the game.
So Eric Rask, senior tri-captain linebacker, is the Pico player of the game. It's brought to you by Pico Energy, great longtime partner of Penn Athletics. Pico Energy with you every step of the way. All right, Hans Murray, the next step for the Penn Quakers a week from today, a 1 o'clock kickoff at Franklin Field. Princeton Tigers arrive in University City for what will probably be an energy-charged homecoming pairing between the two P's in the Ivy League.
Well, as you were discussing with us off the air, Brian, the trick for Penn is to not let this game be the end of the season for them. Princeton, of course, is going to come in there with a disappointing record. On paper, it's going to look like it should be a fairly comfortable Penn victory. We know in the past that Penn-Princeton is one of those games where, you know, the records typically get thrown out the window because it's usually a pretty violent affair. But if Penn goes into that game either licking their wounds or feeling sorry for themselves or overconfident, you know, which would be even worse, they could have their hands full next week against Princeton and Franklin Field. They've got to get by that game next week so they have a chance at Harvard.
Now, as we get the spin machine churning here on the Red and Blue Rewind postgame show, the positives for Penn to focus on: one loss in the league, you still have the first place team up on your schedule, and who knows what will happen between the Crimson and the Big Green tonight. And who knows, maybe in some way, now that the program might not have to think about, well, will this be the week that the ex-longest winning streak in Ivy League history will be either extended or come to an end? Maybe that will kind of be some sort of release for the Red and Blue, and it'll be interesting to see next Saturday what type of effect it has.
I think that's a really good point, and clearly we're both amateur psychologists here trying to understand what goes on in the minds of kids, but it's not over yet. And we've said before a couple times during these postgame shows that I don't think anybody in the league is going to go undefeated, and I was saying that about Penn as well as everybody else, so part of that came true today.
Well, here's to hoping that the full part of it could reveal itself as well at some point this year. So the Penn Quakers lose it today by a final score of 6-0, 4-3 overall, now tied for second place in the Ivy League, with Brown at 6-1, 3-1 in the league, and the Yale Bulldogs also 4-3, one today at Columbia, 16-13. So Yale now 3-1 in the Ivy League as well. The next broadcast of Penn Football on the Penn Sports Network will come your way next Saturday from Franklin Field. Kickoff at 1 o'clock. We'll hit the air just before that time. The Penn Quakers and the Princeton Tigers in a homecoming matchup in University City. The preceding broadcast has been authorized and the rights granted by the University of Pennsylvania's Division of Recreation and Intercollegiate Athletics to Nelligan Sports Marketing. The accounts and descriptions of this broadcast may not be retransmitted in any form without the expressed written consent of Nelligan Sports Marketing. The executive producer of Penn Football and the Penn Sports Network is our pal Michael Felici, and the coordinating producer is Nicole Schwartz. And now for our studio coordinator, Walt Cooper. Thanks a lot, Walt, for your efforts today. And my partner on site, Hench Murray, Brian Seltzer, saying so long from miserable, rainy, damp, and soggy Providence, Rhode Island. Not a good day for the Penn Quakers. Shut out for the first time since 1997 and had their 18-game Ivy League winning streak come to an end in a 6-0 shutout loss to the Brown Bears. Have a great rest of your Saturday afternoon and a pleasant start to your Sunday from all of us here at the Penn Sports Network.
2011 Penn Football on the Penn Sports Network, a Nelligan Sports Marketing production, has been presented by Bank of America, Bank of Opportunity, Coca-Cola, Coke Zero, real Coke taste, zero calories. Holiday Inn, look again at Holiday Inn Historic District for your stay in Philadelphia. Independence Blue Cross, we're here for you every step of the way. Kindred Healthcare, let us continue the care. For extended coverage of the preceding game, including a complete recap, exclusive video on-demand content, and final stats, log on to PennAthletics.com. This is the Penn Sports Network on 560 AM WFIL Philadelphia from Nelligan Sports Marketing.
What would you give to play the way you used to? With your team, your racket, your grandkids? What would you do to improve your backhand, your jump shot, your quality of life? The answer is Penn Orthopedics. Ranked best in the region by U.S. News and World Report, Penn Orthopedics has been revolutionizing the treatment of joint, spine, and sports injuries with new techniques. Like joint surgery that uses state-of-the-art implants and tiny incisions, plasma therapy that heals injuries using your body's own cells, and an innovative sports medicine program that uses a team approach. Penn Medicine has more ways to help you recover faster. When faced with injury and pain, when you need to get back on your feet, when you're ready to start feeling better, life is worth Penn Orthopedics. To learn more, visit PennMedicine.org or call 800-789-PENN.
When you were 18, you fixed your own car. Then you fixed your friend's car. Then you fixed your friend's sister's car. Then you fixed your friend's sister's uncle's car. And next thing you know, you had yourself a car repair business. And while you're definitely an expert on four-cylinder engines, you're not exactly an expert on employee health insurance. No problem.
Well, I don't know what I'm looking for, but I know that I just want to look some more.
At Independence Blue Cross, we make it easy for you to find a plan that fits your growing business. You see, we have lots of choices that are flexible and affordable, so you can find a plan that keeps deductibles low. You can modify it to add wellness programs, and you can customize the plan to keep it within your budget. So whether your business is small or big, go to plansthatfit.com. Independence Blue Cross. Now more than ever, we're here for you every step of the way. Independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association.
We would like to welcome our newest addition to Franklin Field, Greasy. Greasy serves and caters delicious, all-natural, nutritionally balanced food and drink to people who care about their bodies. Come by for 100% vine-ripened crushed fruit smoothies, a variety of hot and cold coffee, espresso and teas, as well as freshly made sandwiches and salads to suit all tastes. For natural, nutrient-rich products that invigorate the body and mind, come to Breezy, located on the north side of Franklin Field, next to Gate 2. Breezy, your fountain of refreshment.
This is 560 WFIL. Now back to our regular program.